Okay, so we don't yet have more than half.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
12
or
more than
12
half.
Or more than half. 12 is a half a person more than half.
Right.
Yeah.
More than half.
All right, so by a half a person, it looks like we are able to go forward. Very good. Thank you. All right, so we'll call meeting to order, and let me pass out the take the man, though. We don't need to do anything right now with the BlackBerry, though, while he's told us nice things. All right, so let's pass out the... No, thank you. Let's forget it. All right. Okay, so... and also, to help us have... here we have a quorum meeting.
Is there a back door to this?
Yeah, well, we're not supposed to actually come in that way, but... they've asked us, please, to use only... now, just as last time, we officially have a quorum by any calculation. Reza, of course, having brought it over the half-person requirement. Okay, so let me pass out the minutes, please, if you would. Not the minutes, excuse me, the agenda.
Mr. Chair, somebody call the roll.
We're going to do that as soon as we pass out the agenda. All right. And let's go to our first. We finished the. We finished our educational. This is a friendly. We'll finish our educational presentation. We'll go to the public meeting, and the meeting has been called to order. I want to welcome everybody and acknowledge People's College of Law for having this meeting. We expect someone from People's College of Law to come by and say a word or two to us. Let's start with the roll call.
No.
Mr. Warren,
Mr. Chair.
I think they're coming around.
One short.
Ken Aaron?
Here.
Jonathan Alexander?
Here.
Rodrigo Arpado?
Not here.
Louis Cabrera? John Comstock?
Present.
Rafino Loya? Ken Kaufman?
Here.
Fred Plunder?
Here.
Holly Lexa?
Here.
Sequoia Oliver Mercer.
Olivia.
Olivia, present.
Dutch Merritt.
Here.
Maggie Murray.
It's
Marjorie Murray.
It's Margie. M-A-R-G-I-E.
Margie. Sean Casey O'Brien.
Present.
John Parker.
Here.
Rita Poore.
Here.
Leslie Bradford. Summer Reed. Raimundo. Renuso?
Renuso.
Rico Ross. Bree Walker. John Warren. John Weiner.
Here.
Lamont Yakey. Anybody for the GM? Rob? That's it.
Okay. And, Mr. Secretary, I forwarded to you all the excused absences. You have a copy of those people who asked for.
We need one more agenda.
Oh, one more agenda, sure. Does everybody in the back have one also?
No,
none.
Okay, let's pass those forward. Here you go.
After that, no, I don't have a copy.
Okay. Okay, I know that Bree asked for an excused absence. Luis asked for an excused absence. Donna Warren asked for an excused absence. Those are the ones that I have on record now. Yes, Jonathan?
Just before I arrived, I spoke with Camarie. She was unable to contact me, but she was an excused absence. She doesn't have a cell phone or a computer, and she's still traveling.
Okay. So on this list so far, I have Luis, Corrales, Summer, Bree Walker, Donna Warren. Anybody else?
Is someone not coming?
Yes.
I move to accept those excuses.
Okay, before we do that, does anybody else have a word on anyone else who has requested this? Who's asked? It should come through the chair, and I would forward those to the secretary. Okay. If there are any others who have requested an excused absence and we haven't noted at this time, we'll adjust that in the future. Okay, Ken Aaron?
I move that we accept those excused absence.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those Dutch?
Can I find out who asked for an excused absence?
Luis Carrales, Clemmer Reese, Bree Walker, Donna Moore. Those are the ones that I have right now, but we will double check to make sure and make any other changes next time if necessary. Okay, let's go on to our next order of business.
We vote on the motion.
Thank you. All those in favor? Raise your hand. Five. Opposed? Okay. So carried. Motion carries. Let's go to the next item, which is the approval of the agenda.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There was a letter that circulated from Alan to programmers concerning those who are not making their numbers in terms of.
That's a separate issue. We will address that afterwards.
My question, Mr. Chair, is whether we're going to have the opportunity to discuss that on one of the heads on this agenda. And if not, I'd like to ask for a couple of minutes. It is a time-sensitive issue, if I understand it, a very important decision. Will that be addressed under some other head, Mr. Chair?
Yes, in fact, I have the handout, and I can hand it out to people. As soon as we approve the agenda, I have a copy of the...
Where will that be discussed in this agenda?
Well, there's something under Arbitron motions, and I think that would be the appropriate place to bring it up. Or we can bring it up at any point that you would think would be appropriate. Hello? Just a minute. We're talking to LSB members.
One logical point to bring it up, I would think, and I certainly hope that our listeners would have the opportunity to give their opinion, would be under the PROC report.
There is no PROC report. There was no PROC meeting.
Well, the PROC members who have dealt with this issue over many years would be one source of discussion initiation.
Okay, that would be out of order. As Kim has mentioned, there was no PROC meeting. Can you suggest another point where it could be added to the agenda? I think that the appropriate place would be under Arbitron motion. That appears to me to be the logical place. Sean?
Could it be possible that I get the indulgence of the board? Could we please move up our P&B reports to at least under...
Let's discuss the point that we're discussing right now, which has to do with we're still talking about the Arbitron information that was prepared by Alan Minsky. So we want to know where to put that in the agenda. If people want to include it, I suggest it under Arbitron motion. Shrita?
Why not new business? We could discuss it under the new business.
That's fine if everyone is in accord with that. Let's take that as a motion. Is there a second for that? All right, second. Voice vote. All those in favor?
Can we have a discussion on the vote?
Discussion, certainly.
Why don't we leave it right where? Why don't we put it under unfinished business right where it is? Why move it later to new business?
No, wait. Is this the Arbitron's or is this the Alan's memo?
This is Alan's memo, which
is different than the Arbitron.
Exactly.
Yes. It could
very well be included under this Arbitron : motions, IPD report.
It's a different topic.
Correct, but it could be included at the same time.
That's sufficient time, I think it's just fine.
All right, but we do have a motion on the floor saying that it should be included under new business.
Sure. Was there a motion that was seconded?
There was a motion that was seconded to put it under new business. There was a second. There were several seconds. All right. Any further discussion on this? John?
No.
Okay, Ken? Okay, all those in favor, voice vote?
Aye.
Okay, so under new business, we're going to put opposed.
Point.
Tensions? Okay, yes.
Is anybody else here cold for me? No?
Certainly not.
It's going to be more damp hot.
Why don't you make the motion and turn curtly?
This room does get very, very hot.
Well, let's wait until it does.
I'm just mentioning to you that the room does get very hot, so let's leave everything else and turn off the fan and see if it will help us. Okay, so we're putting under new business, item B, including the, we're going to put here the IPD report. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Sean.
Yeah, if I can get the indulgence of the board, I'd like to push the P&B director's report up to underneath at least number 4. I asked for this because over the last 8 days, I have done a P&B meeting.
Rather than argue to your motion, would you like, you want to make that motion?
I'm making that motion.
We have a second. We don't speak that yet. All right, now a discussion. Motivate your motion.
I asked for that because over the last 8 days, I have done a P&B meeting. I got home on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I did an election committee meeting. And on Friday, I did, last night, a P&B meeting teleconference. And if I don't this afternoon go to a birthday party opening house for my family and friends, my girlfriend will leave me. So I would like to make a very important P&B report that this body should hear, but I don't have all the time necessary if we leave it where it is. Thank you very much.
All right. Any other discussion? Ken?
Friendly amendment. I'd say we move it before number 4, right after the...
Do you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's been moved, seconded. All those in favor of moving the P&B reports to item 3.5. Okay, so well, let's just renumber it and put it as let's just put it to the
yeah.
All right. Discussion, yes.
Can I ask for clarification? I'm not clear on when the minute.
Just a minute, please.
I'm not clear.
Yes. I object to opening up
order. Is that a point of order?
It's a point of order. I object to opening up discussion on votes. To the public,
okay.
Unless
we
do
so
rule. The agenda is a matter for public discussion.
Okay, hold on. We're talking about this particular item. We're talking about moving up the P&B director's report here to item 3B. Call the vote. So, without further objection, we will move for the vote.
So 3C.
All those. Yeah. 3C. That's right. 3C. Sorry about that. Receipt, thank you. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Abstentions? Okay, so move. Yes.
Can I be recognized?
Yes.
The Minsky memo is not simply a matter of the Arbitron. It's a great concern to unpaid programmers. I'm very concerned by it being under new business.
You won't get to it. So I would request, as a reflection of the concern of unpaid programmers,
that this be given a time certain. This has already been voted on and passed. But you did not have input. The agenda is not something that the should preclude any listener comment.
Okay, I'm going to rule that out of order at this point.
I just want to let you know that in our last few meetings, we've been getting through 85 to 90% of our agenda, and if we don't waste time, we will get through 85 to 90% of our agenda and probably get to that. Thank you.
Okay, just have an email from Leslie saying we should be late. So,
on the agenda in the governance under what's now 10A, this has been town hall meeting and report to the listener. Those two I have never discussed them. They were both voted to put on the agenda. Report to the listener for that issue.
All right, LSB members who would like to so move.
I concur. I was in that governance meeting.
So moved?
So moved.
Seconded? Anyone who would second that to put record to the listener there at the town hall meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Yeah.
So moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Yeah, I do think that Glenn's point is of great importance. I think it's of great importance to all of us.
I have asked Craig Lunder not to speak to this motion, which is out of order. Please make a vote in the minutes. Mr. Secretary? Report to the listener now has been moved to be under Town Hall Meeting A. Report to the listener with Town Hall Meeting. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
Aye. No.
Okay, the motion has abstentions. Okay, please note that to Mr. Secretary. Yeah. We have three abstentions. Okay, Rodrigo Argueta has arrived. Okay, any other items on the agenda? Again?
I call for approving the agenda.
Second. All right. Okay. Moved and seconded. Discussion.
I'd sort of make a motion for 3:30. If we don't get to the arbitrage issues, I believe we're in court, would it be possible to move that up?
I think so.
Time 30?
Okay, at this point we have a motion on the floor for approval of the agenda. So this would be a modification of the agenda, which would...
Well, I had raised my hand up before you.
Had
before, so that would have been brilliant.
But at this point, we already had a motion, and the motion has been made to approve the agenda.
Right.
Now,
And seconded.
Would you like to... Will the maker of the motion consider that to be a friendly amendment?
No, I want to get through this. We've got to approve the minutes and start doing business.
Okay.
You are ramrodding this agenda through without hearing listener comments. I have a comment to make, and I think it's important. You have a very critical issue coming up with Alan Minsky's memo to the programmers. Sherman Gluck's remarks were right on point, and so were Craig Clunders.
And
you are running it through. This is not democracy. This is not fair.
Fine.
With all due respect to the listeners and to Fred, we are representatives of the listeners. If you need something added to the agenda, you should come to a board member that you want to converse with and ask them to add it to the board to the agenda. The agenda is not a topic for public discussion. The agenda is for the meeting of the board members that are seated, period.
The agenda is a topic for public discussion.
I would...
It affects the public entirely.
Excuse me, please. Let's not have any outbursts, but I would agree with the listeners that we should have listener comments on the agenda because it is an item of interest to the public. However, at this point, we are discussing whether a time certain could be made and the time certain as a friendly amendment was rejected. As a friendly amendment. So, we're going to vote on the main motion, which would be to approve the agenda as is revised now. Please help us, members of the audience, and not speak.
Maybe we can just keep moving, and maybe we'll get there.
Excuse me, please. Let's just run one meeting at a time, and we're going to vote on the agenda as approved right now for the agenda as it stands. All those in favor, any further discussion by LSU members? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Okay, and abstentions. Okay, the motion carries. So we're going to move on to the agenda. The next item is the approval of the minutes. Now, we have a draft minutes for the last LSC meeting, and there also was sent out, now for the second time, thanks to Kim Kaufman, the consent agenda for previous LSC meetings, and I also have paper copies of the January, February, and April meetings. So I will ask the secretary, or let's have our parliamentary advisor pass out the draft minutes. You should also have a copy of the draft minutes that were emailed to you. Would you please take, we're going to take the first one in order, which would be the approval of the draft minutes for the June 24th meeting, and we'll go to the other items on the consent agenda. We have one item here, clerk. So although I have tried my best to satisfy my clerical duties, I think that it might be chair.
Good point.
So we'll see that change is noted. I think Richard Vega served as parliamentary advisor. Margie Murray,
members
present.
I have a recollection of the
June
24th. Yeah.
In fact, at that very meeting, we talked about setting up that you would become the convener of the meeting. So Margie Murray was at the meeting.
She didn't answer a roll call.
I said you didn't hear me. I was clearly there at the time.
Do you have that letter?
Yeah.
It's difficult to do, sir. True, but she came in late.
Arrived 7:41.
Yes. All right. So she wasn't there for quorum, and I only listed quorum.
That's right.
All right.
Okay,
that's
how it works.
Well,
Fred,
will you?
Okay, yeah, let's go with that. I'm going to go from left to right. Fred Thunder?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Second page, down the bottom. Thunder asks to modify P&B motion to state solvent stations do not lose control. I remember Thunder asking as to the status of the FAP resolution that we've had unanimously. I remember my request to modify any language.
Fred, where is that?
It's on the second page, toward the bottom.
Yeah. Okay.
It almost seems to be a paste from nowhere or something.
This sector? How would you like them to read?
I don't recall, but I thought it was during John's Finance Committee, or perhaps my question was largely to John to clarify, I think, the status, and I believe you did answer.
Sorry, I was typing it through. I'm making sure I wasn't following.
I'm going through the second page down at the bottom. I haven't decided to take much time on this. I would ask that that be deleted in the absence of someone in the slam. My recollection is only that I asked the current the chair, the current treasurer, to clarify the status of the FAP resolution that we unanimously passed several months ago. And I believe he did clarify that.
I'm speaking not just cheering, but I would say in the absence of any strong evidence to the contrary that that should remain, since it was written by the secretary.
In the absence of a tape recording,
we have a tape recording of that. That's very good.
I want it out.
Hold on.
Yeah. We can do about minutes. Should be a record of decision
Okay.
So
thank you.
It'd be proper to strike.
Okay. So we're going to strike that.
Thank you, Chair.
All those in favor of striking?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we're going to strike that. And that point is well taken. Minutes should reflect
actions.
Actions rather than discussion.
Striking the entire sentence.
So the entire sentence is not.
Bottom page two, where it says correct under.
Yes.
I had intentionally put in a little more discussion because it seemed to want last month's minutes were quite long. I'd be happy to cut down on these comments.
Excellent. Perhaps you could keep that in mind for the next.
I will. We'll do that.
Okay. Have you okay? Any other discussion?
Yes.
Let me see. We were going around this way.
So
we're
going
to go to. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Let's go. We're here.
My name is
Ayed,
and I'm here. Mm-hmm. So it should be, you know, either, you know, Hawaii or County Bariatu if we recorded that. Who was that? My name is Tahir.
How about if we say later, post-quorum arrival, something like that. Shall we do that?
All right,
so shall we just put there Margie Murray and Rodrigo as post-quorum arrival?
Yeah,
there's more than just those two.
I have a full record.
I will include.
Let's get the more then. So the forum arrivals, Margie, Murray, Rodrigo, Agueta, and, well,
Summer
Reed. Does that agree with you, Mr. Secretary?
These people are listed in the minutes anyway.
Okay.
But it should say at the top when it says who's present, who was actually present, whether they were at the beginning or arrived late.
So what I'm suggesting is that he could write constitutive quorum, list those, and then put post-quorum arriving so that we know that people have arrived. Wait a second. Let's go over this discussion. Ali?
No, I'm also not listed as being present, even though I mentioned four times in the minutes.
All right, how shall we resolve this? What would be the best way to resolve this?
Okay.
Without reference to quorum then?
At the beginning of, I'm sorry, secretary can keep an eye on who comes in the course of the meeting and add into the roll. That sounds
cool. I have a full record when everybody arrives, so that I can
include them. How about if we put an indicator on the quorum was achieved at a certain time?
Yes. But you just suggested post-quorum arrival.
Well, but it looks like there's a modification in order. Let me go to Margie, and then I'll go to Terry.
I'd like to point out that I believe Rodrigo and I we did vote on the very first agenda item. For the chair, I did notify you that on Thursday night I actually teach students, and that I might have to arrive a few minutes late. But if I was there to vote on the first agenda item, I would think that I should be listed just as a member there. Plus, at that point, we did not have an official secretary for the people that voted on the first agenda item should all be listed. That's my addition to the discussion. Thank you.
Well, just to clarify, we had an official secretary and a motion came up subsequently to make a modification. But there was a secretary who was acting in his role. Terry?
Yeah, the members will make sure that the meeting doesn't start until there's quorum. The important part of the attendance is for any member who was at any time at the meeting to be listed so that they do not get kicked off the board
right.
For an absence.
So the practice has been to list every member present at any point of the meeting at any attendance section, parenthetically after their name, arrived late or left early.
Okay, does that seem like a workable solution for our secretary? Yeah. Arrived late, left early.
I wouldn't want to list them all, so I would just say arrived late and then list the all
so,
to
arrive. No, after each name.
No.
If someone arrived late or left early, then present.
Okay, just a minute. I want to make sure that our secretary is comfortable with that.
Oh,
suggestion, unless there's any modification.
Hold on.
I'm here to speak for you guys. I'm comfortable with anything.
Okay, let's go. We're going to go to Ali, who hasn't spoken yet.
What about if you just put everyone's name and put in parentheses the time they arrived?
I can do that.
That's even better.
That's much better.
Yeah. You like that better?
Yeah. Best get back. Have practice if we know the time.
Every member of any board at Pacifica has a duty to inform the chair if they show up late. On the national board, we actually have a column for arrived late. So it shouldn't be a big problem. If you're walking late, inform the chair and the secretary in this board. Thank you.
I agree with that. I think in the note they should just reflect the list of names of people over here, quorum achieved in the time, and then everyone arrived late. Below that is late. So they're all listed, and there's a quorum time in the middle.
Okay. Mr. Chair,
hold on, please. Anybody else? Any around?
I have my
John.
I have a couple things. In the first place, we don't have a good history of our decisions for the last 7 years. And
so I know the issue. We're trying to determine something to do with attendance.
Yeah. And the point is this, is that
John, if you'll hold it, John, if you'll hold that thought for you until after we... Excuse me, John. I'm going to move on until we're ready to conclude this.
You're just understanding.
You want to conclude this issue? Dutch.
I'd like to hear what John...
Excuse me, I'm a little bit out of order.
Can I count really the chair?
Let's call for the vote.
Call for vote.
Excuse me, I've already called...
I counted really the chair, I call for the vote.
Secretary, would you please note that I've called Mr. Wenger out of order, and we are not going to move on to the next item until we have approved this item, which is the attendance issue. As long as people are satisfied...
The ruling of the chair can be challenged at any time, period.
As soon as we have satisfied this issue of attendance and everybody is on board, we can move on to any other issue.
A ruling of the chair can be challenged any time, and I would like to hear...
You're out of order here. Excuse me.
Well, then I'll challenge that one.
You're out of order.
Okay?
You're out of
let's
order.
Let's go, John. You know, you've thrown down the gun here and insulted us.
John, let's do real work. Let's just go
real
on.
Real work. I want to. That's why I want all this childish technicality to stop.
Will you please note that I've asked Mr. O'Brien to stop?
And I'll challenge that ruling.
Okay.
Now you got three, John.
Okay. Now,
Jesus.
What we want to do is simply to agree that we have a method for noting attendance. So I'm going to call for a vote. All those in favor of the method of noting attendance, which would be quorum and then parentheses, time arrived, left late, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Aye.
Opposed. All those abstentions? Okay, the motion passed. All right, now we're in order for anything else.
If there's any doubt about the vote, we can call for a roll call or a hand vote.
Let's do some real work.
Yeah, I want to, okay? And I think we have to start with dealing with our chair, who's impeding our ability to work.
I think that we have one motion on the floor. We voted on it to vote for a roll call requires 2/3 vote. So all those in favor of having a roll call on the previous motion, please so indicate. We do not have the 2/3. All right, let's go on to the next order of business.
Roll call.
Any other?
Nobody even knows what a vote is, John, because you're not conducting yourself.
For the second time, and please note.
Yeah, please note,
Irvine, you're out of order. Okay. We have voted to. If we can keep discussion for a minute, please. Let's have one meeting at a time, please. We have simply moved to the very first item listed on the minutes, which has to do with how we note attendance. You'll note, the secretary would note, when a quorum was achieved, the time that everybody has arrived, and people who left early.
And it should say departure time, too.
Yeah, left early.
No, depart. If they arrive at 2:10, you write down 2:10. If they leave at 3:10, you put down the left 3:10.
Okay, that's fine. Arrival and the departure. I think that's pretty much understood. Got it. Okay. Any other discussion on the minutes? Yes, Red.
Chair, I'm asking everybody, even the listener, what's wrong with that? These people, they vote the one that they voted for you. What is the problem now? For silly things, you know, questioning. 20 people are here to listen the arrival time when they leave. What is the problem? You voted for the chair. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. We're moving on.
Okay, thank you, Reza. Any other comments? Anything else on the minutes? Yes.
Are we going to manually add then the members that arrived late to that minutes of this meeting before we approve them?
Doug, will you? You have a record. Let's see. We have Margie, Rodolfo, Summer, Ali. Was there any other board member who was? Okay, John. Rodrigo. I'm sorry, Rodrigo.
Rico Roth arrived at 9:28.
Rico, okay.
Point of order.
Yes.
We have no rule in our bylaws on roll call, what it takes to do a roll call vote. Therefore, according to Robert's Rules of Order, page 405, starting at about line 21, in a representative body, there is no legal or constitutional provision specifying the size of a majority that can order a roll call vote. Let's see. I don't want to go through Congress here. In the absence of such a special rule, a majority vote is required to order the taking of a roll call vote. Not two-thirds, a simple majority.
Well, we only had three voting for it. John Gary.
Only because you didn't give the right
place. John Gary. Let's continue.
Yeah, right. Let's not follow the rules and know what we're talking about, Mr. Chair.
Please note that Mr. Ryan is being... And this is the third time I've asked Mr. O'Brien to cease and desist.
I'm trying to make order to a meeting that you are failing to do so, sir, and that is my right. That is my right.
You're going to have to be here.
How outrageous. This place is falling apart.
Exactly.
The 73 fund drive between now and the end of the year, and you are fiddling around here.
Let's do real work.
I agree exactly with what you're saying, because the call to move forward and conduct business certainly have to go beyond the very simple issue of noting membership. Okay, John Gary, you were talking about other people who were present. Would you coordinate with the secretary to make sure that he lists all those
what
people?
What is John Gary's role here? Is he an ex-CIA agent or a current CIA agent? What is going on with your letter?
Really?
Why is he a secretary of three subcommittees of the LSB?
Okay.
That's why.
John, you did make notice last time, and you have listed Rico Ross. Who else?
Oh, shit.
Just a minute.
Chair.
John,
I have a motion.
Yes.
It's not important. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. He can work this out with the secretary. He was the secretary of that meeting. My motion is that we move this entire topic to some other meeting or not at all.
Thank you so much. Any second?
Anybody
second?
Second.
Any favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Opposed.
Abstention.
We don't want no one to be part of the LSP.
Abstention. Okay, the motion is passed. All right, let's move forward. Anything else on the minutes, the approval of the minutes?
Oh,
John Wayne.
Yeah.
With regard to the minutes, I want the minutes to reflect not only the decisions, but the rationale for the decisions. We have no history, no understanding looking back as to what's going on. We're leaving no trail. And I support Doug's effort to write down the rationale to the extent that we can so that people come after us, the next people who are being elected. They're really important to elect these people, but we're not going to give them any insight as to how we did it. We're going to have to make them talk to us personally and make it an insider sort of thing. Let's make it available to the public. Let's leave a record of our trail. Rationale, please.
Okay, I'm just going to make a note of what happens in most meetings that I've attended. There's a lot of business that takes place, and when only motions, according to Roberts, that are passed are included, it's much easier to follow the actions of the board. That's why those procedures are followed. And it seems to be the most reasonable one in order to follow what happened, because otherwise it's very difficult to follow with a narrative. Rodrigo.
I have a question. On the preliminary type of meeting, we gave notice as we were ruled out, because of the meeting that we had. But according to the minutes, we did announce it on the last LSB meeting. So, and my question is, how is that work, the last meeting we have from the Programming Oversight Committee was ruled out, why, if it was noted from the, on this last meeting of the LSD, why?
Which president?
The, you tell me.
Right. Okay, so, okay, Dutch.
Can I clarify your question? Was the meeting also noticed on the calendar as it was supposed to be? Was not noticed?
No, it wasn't noticed. We made the announcement of the last LSD meeting and of this meeting, but it wasn't announced.
Yeah, it has to be on the calendar, my understanding.
No. Rodrigo, not only that, but it was not announced at the place. I'm on that committee. I never got notice of where it was going to be at. There was a fund drive going on, and I never heard about where it was going to be. So it was never noticed. So I assume we all didn't get it together, and there was no meeting.
That's what I want to know. If he was announced
yet,
then...
No, that's not the way a meeting gets noticed. After the meeting, John's going to explain to you, okay?
Let me just clarify that. In order to have a meeting properly noticed, we ask for the notice to give us the date, time, and place of the meeting. This date, time, and place were not noted, and as you indicated in an email to me, you acknowledged that it were not properly noticed. In order to notice properly, the meetings have to be available to everybody. We have to let everybody know that these meetings are taking place and be inclusive. So those meetings, in order to satisfy those requirements, have to be publicly noticed. Okay. Any other discussion? All right. I will move then to approval of the minutes. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Here's some prayers thrown in there. All those opposed, abstentions. The motion carries. The minutes are approved. Let's move to the next item on the agenda, which is announcements. Do we have any announcements? I will announce that we don't have this here, but that the IPD meeting was convened by Margie Murray, and Holly Lester was elected chair pro tem with a new meeting to be...
Holly and I were elected
co-chairmen.
We're not pro-chairmen.
For life.
We're chairs for life, okay?
forever.
My understanding is that there are... Yeah, until we murder somebody, please.
Okay, my understanding is that there are three meetings in which the person serves as chair pro tem and then becomes a permanent chair.
No.
Jerry Goodman is shaking his head. Jerry Goodman.
Okay, so
we have the chair. So then Rufina Juarez will be chair of the PROC commission.
Right.
Okay, because this came up before And nothing was mentioned about it when I sent an email to people saying it would be three times. So that's fine. So now, just for the record, let's note that as chair of the PROC, it's Rafina.
And Rodrigo is the vice chair.
And as the Rodrigo is the vice chair. And chair, and then for the IEV committee, co-chairs, Ali and Kim, given the provision that Kim has put there about
chair
doing harm to other people.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so we have that.
Excuse me, there's more announcements.
Okay, yes, any other announcements?
Yeah, if I understand the chair of the PNB, we will shortly be considering amendments to the bylaws, so at our next meeting, be prepared to begin the discussion, if not the debate and vote, on a couple of very simple common sense amendments. You will see if you agree with me that they're simple and common sense, but I want to give notice that that will take place at next month's meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
Comment? Could those be mailed to the board members?
When they are passed out of the PNB, because we have to go over them, then I'll make sure everybody gets a copy. So you'll be able to study up well in advance.
Okay.
yes. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I was a member of the Mineral Station Standard Election Process.
IGN search committee? Okay. Any other announcements? Hearing none, let's go on to the next item. Go on. If you've liked the meeting so far, now you get to participate.
Should I address the phone for a minute?
Yeah, could you come
up? Sure. I made copies of the hung up on the room.
Could you, Chair, could you please introduce the LES board?
Why don't you come out in the middle there, Mark, so we can
see the chair?
I'm just saying, people on the side may not be able to see him.
Why don't they sit over there?
I can sit over there now.
Okay, good. I just want everybody to be able to see him.
Are you coming to hand out?
Yeah, I do. Again, enough, but.
Okay, this is.
Pass them around, we'll share two by two or something.
Is enough?
Okay, let's pass things along. Okay, the IPV. Okay, so we have our local election supervisor, Mark Hurst, and he's going to give us a report. Mark.
Okay, I wanted to start off by just talking about being present here. In the spirit of Blue Hill, in the spirit of discourse and conversation, I am here to seek guidance for future steps that I make. The guidelines that Michael Sanchez wrote out were very good. They were very slim on detail. There was a lot of information about the general ways in which to go. There was no date. There was nothing about how and where to have events. I am here today with the idea of getting feedback for what the general consensus of those present and the board in particular for how to move forward and seek suggestions for where to go. As I said, by most accounts, Michael was a great supervisor. I hope to meet that. Okay, so again, I thank all the feedback that I have gotten, good, bad, and also constructive. Everything has been helpful in helping me figure out how to do this job. I, again, am here with the hope to have constructive conversation looking forward. Because as we all know, regardless of our individual ideals, a good, clean election is in the best interest of Pacifica. Okay, so I want to begin just by discussing what it is will be happening in this next week. And this coming campaign phase. So this week, by the 30th, I will have produced 30 one-minute long cards in English with the feedback from, or not with the feedback, with the voices of the candidates. So all candidates present. I sent out an email last night to schedule with you for coming into the station and recording. I need your, ideally, I am going to be recording this everything by Tuesday. Again, please read that email and please respond to me. There are, if you cannot make it, we can make other directions. We could figure something out and then follow that system to make that happen. We will be producing a 1 minute card in English and then a 30 second card in Spanish.
I don't have copies. We're short.
Let's see if we can get some more copies.
Does somebody need one? I can share.
Somebody go and ask. Okay, we'll get the copies. Is there extra copies?
Do you need another one?
We'll get some more copies.
Let's do more.
All right, Richard Vega will make some more copies.
Thank you,
John. Thank you. I am working out with the station a way so that every card will be played 30 times within the next 2 months at a variety and an equal amount of time throughout the day. The specifics will be hammered out this Tuesday in a conference call with the in-station managerial team and the National Election Supervisor and myself.
Question? 30 times in
60 days. Let's say that's
every half day.
John Winger, let's say the Q&A for after his report.
Okay.
30
and 60.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to define myself here. And then the eventual schedule will be posted on the Pacifica Elections website to ensure that that by the collective intelligence in the room that this schedule is being followed through. Live on-air candidate forum, we will be having 3 weeks of 1 hour long conversation forums. So what that basically translates into is 5 forums a week over at the same time slot at 3 different time slots throughout the course of the election.
Let's say this first. Okay. Write your questions down and we have time for Q&A.
There's been a request by the National Election Supervisor that will be hammered out this Tuesday. For it to occur, the first one on the week of August 23rd through 27th during drive time, a second request from September 6th to 10th in the afternoon, and a third request on the 20th to the 24th in the evening. There's been a request from KPFK, which I hope to honor and need the support of programmers and the community to have a live forum during the Spanish language block translated in English to Spanish and from Spanish to English. So I look forward to receiving that support in translation. I have some certified translators that I could call upon. That said, I will need people to help me make that happen. Again, the rotation cycle is in discussion with the KPFK management and will be hammered out ideally on Tuesday. Community forum. 3 or more community forums are planned. One I will suggest to be held at KPFK. I have gotten interest from cultural spaces throughout Los Angeles, selecting a suggestion for some in Orange County, and for a Westside Labor Hall. I am, since I do not know yet where Mr. Sanchez had his forums last year, I am still, my ears are open and I need to schedule ASAP places in which to have these forums with the goal of both discussing and getting people an informed way of understanding who to vote for. Staff elections, we're going to have two in-station forums. One has been requested to have during the workday. One will be off hours. And following what Mr. Sanchez did last year, will be recorded on a podcast that I hope to work out with Ali. Finally, candidate reviews. I have the website listed as to all the current candidates. Currently, there are 26 candidates. There are two who are not listed on the website, which are in unclear positions. One is unclear because of an issue with the signature. A second is unclear who may according to research that we've done in attempt to qualify as many candidates as possible. One may qualify if there were waivers that were presented at this time or until the candidate, until the process is sealed. So for you all, I'm open to answer questions. My other questions that I have are locations and times of forums that have worked well in the past for community forums. Questions that I should be writing to the candidates for on-air and live forums or general subjects of interest that you feel would be important with your experience on this board and elsewhere. What sort of questions are we looking for from these candidates? Obviously, I could ask these questions myself, but everything is better when done in dialogue and in conversation. Finally, again, to strengthen, I would love to work out with Rodrigo or other folks the question for how to best do the Spanish language forum.
Okay, let's go this way, Leslie.
Not so much a question, but a comment. I understand that the ballots are going out August 16th. They should be in everybody's mailbox by the 1st of September, and that's the plan. I just wanted to say that a lot of people will take those ballots, flip them, turn them back in the mail the next day. If we can have a push on these forms and the carts before that time, that would probably be most useful.
Yeah. Push to have more forums in August.
In August rather than September. It's a thought. Yeah.
On air forums, live forums, but
whatever you can do. As I say, people fill them out, drop them back in the mail, and they're done.
In terms of location for the forum, I would like to suggest one of the San Fernando Valley if you need help with the location. I just thought it would be nice to have a forum in the San Fernando Valley where the station is. Not that, but you know, the West Valley or whatever. The other area I'd like to see one possibly is Santa Monica. And I'd like to know if we are, some of the places I know have a nominal like fee of $50 or whatever. Is there a budget on what we give to the locations that might help in determining where we could place them? Thank you.
Excuse me, Mark, did you want to comment on that?
I have a general budget. Some of it has been...
Okay, I've had one place I'd like to suggest is the Santa Monica Public Library.
Okay.
That has a very nice room. In fact, we should consider it for some of these meetings. Thank you. And they have some good parking.
Okay. And I've taken note of both the
government. Okay, Rita?
Hold
on, please. Please help us by attending to the question.
You programming on air Wednesday and Sunday, they call and ask, you know, not candidates who come to the station to gather their own signature. And I was witness there, and his programming, you know, influencing the candidate, telling people to sign for them. What is your idea? Is this violation of the bylaws?
There's an ongoing investigation on this. There's been suggested ways in which to address the programmer and to make I don't know the proper language for this thing, but there's an investigation and something will be done about it.
Wait, clarify.
Okay, hold on, please. Let's just go in order. Sean?
Yeah, okay. Now I've got three quick comments and two questions. First of all, Mark, you shouldn't be counting on our former LES to give you information. That should be done with the NES. I do empathize with you. She is a handful, and it's quite confusing. Okay. Second, on candidate review, I would hope, since we believe in democracy, I hope that the benefit of the doubt will always fall in favor of the candidate. If it isn't a clear-cut case of knocking off the signatures and there's just a little doubt, I hope it falls in favor of the candidate. The more candidates you have, the better. I don't care about factions. Second, there are no waivers because our NES, our National Election Supervisor, never extended the membership deadline. She extended the nomination deadline. She did not extend the membership deadline. So since this LSP never considered any waivers before the end of the membership deadline, there are no waivers, and you can take that up with your National Election Supervisor. I and others fought very hard to have the membership deadline extended. So waivers are dead. Now, finally, two quick questions. Did I understand you?
My heart to get the waivers, though.
Excuse me. Let me finish. Bernie, you have my sympathy on the waivers. Two quick questions. One, did I understand you to say that we're going to have English cards for 1 minute and Spanish cards for 30 seconds?
Right.
And I want to know why the discrepancy, why are our Spanish brothers and sisters getting a full minute? That makes a huge difference. And I think if you don't do them fairly, you open yourself up to possible litigation on discrimination. So there you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean.
I got one more. What is the problem with the programmer? Because from what I heard, if I understand it correctly, there is nothing wrong with a candidate going out and soliciting. Was the programmer a candidate?
No.
No, the programmer was not a candidate. Okay, now, was the programmer broadcasting over the air, or was he just giving a personal opinion? Because that's what I'm trying to find out.
Was he on the radio?
Oh, wait a minute. I've got to tell you something, guys.
Mr. Chair, can we have...
Just a minute, please.
Three discussions going on here.
Yeah.
Let's have one, please.
I understand we don't want our programmers going over the radio saying, I endorse this guy. But wait, let me finish. But programmers, just like board members, can individually give you their ideas. You don't lose your right to association or to tell people who you are as long as you're doing it in a personal capacity. That's what I'm asking. We're trying to ascertain. Thank you.
John, call you next.
Okay, just a minute. We're going around.
Can we get an answer to those two questions?
Leta, I would love to. Just a minute, please.
Good question.
Let's go to Mark.
I'm not trying to be difficult. On the question of the Ian Masters, it has been decided that he has crossed the line. How?
Can you just describe what happened?
Tell us what happened. He was on the air. In the room with Alan and myself, in a tutorial with every programmer was contacted in attempts to try and organize. We did very well in getting on-air cards played. I think we produced about 10 or so persons' live tutorials. So when Ian was in the room, he made statements just generally disparaging board members and disparaging applicants without naming names. So it was decided that...
Did he name names?
No.
That's what he just said. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Shh.
But did he mean he's not going to name names or he is going to
name names?
And there's no violation.
Let's have one back.
Let's have no back and forth.
Yeah, he said there's no violation. Pay attention to him.
Bernie, please. Let's just let Mark answer and then we'll have ample time to speak. Mark, please continue.
The best that I can say is I have not been told that it was a violation. What I have been told is that, so let me correct myself because I want that. I have not been told that it was a violation. That said, I have been told that there was a general breach of composure and the way in which the spirit of the election should be held. That said, there has been a request from the NES to hold one forum during Mr. Master's show. So having a week of forums from the 5 to 6 o'clock hour.
So there's no
problem.
I don't understand.
Well, I didn't
say hold on. Let's not have a cross discussion at this point. Let's just let him finish his statement and then we'll come around.
I've not been told that there has been a violation. That word I was not told to me. I
hold on, please.
Bernie, please. I'm trying. Yeah, I've not been there's been no word. The word violation has not been uttered to me. I did an investigation. Renee looked into it as well. The result of what happened, I'm not calling it a violation because I have not been told in those very words that that is the case. But to address the perception that there has been a violation we're dissuading people from participating in this system. There was a request to do the forum during that.
What about the
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the next question. The next one was Rodrigo,
and he was the last question. You're going this way.
Yeah, you're going this way.
I'm going this way because Rodrigo.
He was last. I have my hand up for 2 minutes, so how does that work?
No. Wait a minute. He skipped over me, even though my hand was up.
I skipped over Rodrigo. I skipped over Donna. So I wanted to go back to those two who had their hands up, and then I'll come back to you. Rodrigo.
Basically, what's thinking and why it's really thinking when we have to close that position, I don't have to be able to. Okay. They're going to be 1 minute, or English going to be 1 minute.
Okay. Can I address that?
Yeah. The other thing is that my question has to do with the forum. If most of the candidates speak English, so the forums by themselves are going to be carried on English with translation, simultaneous translation, or there will be some forums that we can create for Spanish-speaking communities with they will have the translation for the candidates.
That is the ideal. I would like to see that. I have the ability to get a few translators, possibly on volunteer hours, personal contact. I need to get more contact. Yes. To your first question, the reason why we are currently doing 30-second Spanish language cards is pragmatic. I have to make these cards by Friday. I do not know if all the candidates will be able to do their own translation by Friday. That said, what I can do is use their candidate statement to be translated and recorded by Friday. That is the reason. It is something that I have in hand to be able to be translated currently to meet the deadline of having everything ready by Friday.
Yes, Donna?
Okay. Hi, Mark. Sorry I was late. I didn't hear all of your presentations. But I did hear a little bit about it. And I never believe in recreating the wheel. Never. And I heard you say something about maybe the prior election supervisor, what you said is you don't know where he held the meeting. So this is what I want to say. Whether he or we or anybody believes that he did a good job, a bad job, a mediocre job, whatever, he took notes.
and I highly advise you to review those notes, because I'm pretty sure that at least he's got something in there that you can go on and sit. I know you shouldn't hit.
I'm saying I couldn't find it, that's why.
Yes. And you can't find the man either?
His report, he...
He didn't file a report?
Yes, he did. And afterward,
He didn't file a report?
He did. He did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
And so where is the report? You haven't been able to find it?
I have. No, what I have not been able to find is the specific locations in which he had it.
That's not in the report?
No.
Hold on, please. Okay. Arthur, I'm going to go over to the stack that I have. I have Dutch, Kim, Reza, Margie, and Sean. Dutch.
Mark,
go ahead. Help us, please, by paying attention to the questions.
I do have a question, but I want to start by saying thank you. I know this is a little bit like watching sausage made. It's a little bit bigger than you'd like. And you've been in a position that's been a little bit of a lightning rod. I understand that. But thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the job. And thank you for your diligence. And we want to help guide you as best we can to make this a good election. Where I'm looking for clarity is I misunderstood what Reza Poor was saying and what you were saying. I think I heard two different things. What I thought I heard Reza say was that there was a on-air personality that was lobbying to get signatures for certain candidates. Is that not the case?
I could explain because
it sounds like these are two different situations. Yeah, you're talking about Ian Masters on air disparaging the process, and I thought I heard you say that he was encouraging certain signatures and not others. Mark?
I'm going to explain.
Let Mark
answer. Truthfully, I think that Ray's answer is as good as mine. I mean, it's a question of interpretation as much as anything else, from my perspective.
So what does that mean?
What happened then? What I understood you to say is that Ian Masters was disparaging the process, disparaging the board, which is obviously
And he was disparaging certain members and certain ways in which certain qualities of a candidate.
And he called for a signing session.
For anyone who wanted to run.
Just a minute, please. Just a second. Have you answered that question?
I also said that I think it's a subject of interpretation, so I do think that I
answered. But you have answered. Okay, let's go to Kim. I have Kim, Reza, Margie, Sean, and Sequoia.
First of all, my interpretation of that event is Ian made an announcement saying the nominations are closing on Monday. I'll be here Sunday morning. Anyone out there who wants to run can come Sunday morning. There will be other people here to get signatures from. Is that correct, Mark?
That is what I heard.
Okay,
in addition to others coming.
That's the salient point, however, and that is this point in contention. He wasn't promoting anyone or any kind of candidate. He just put it out on the air. Anyone out there listening, if you have any listeners at all and you're interested, come down Sunday morning. It is an event you chose not to attend, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you and I had a conversation about a week ago about the forum.
Yeah.
You said you were aware that they were online.
I think you misunderstood.
I guess so, because they are online.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You can find them online on the KPS. You can ask Allie, this conversation?
Okay. Yeah.
And I said they were online. You said you were well aware they were online.
Yeah.
So they're not hidden. You don't need to know.
I'm not saying they're hidden.
They're easily available to find out where we did them before.
Great.
Okay.
Now, I have one other thing about the, my suggestion is to keep all of these on-air candidate forums at the same day, the same time, for three different weeks. So people don't say, oh, somewhere in drive time, somewhere in the middle of the night, somewhere in the morning. They should all be at the same time, the same night, or afternoon. They should be consistent. They were last year, and to change it will obviously be considered favoritism by someone.
Okay, Mark?
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay, Rizzo.
I really thank you for the job you have done. It's unquestionable. But
I'm giving you just one scenario. We hear an announcement on the radio, Toyota dealers are selling a piece of, you know, car for such a price. And people run over there to buy that. They said it's been sold, but we have something else. They call it misrepresentation. Dion Master coming on the air, asking candidates to come over there. People are going to sign, you know, your petition, right? And soliciting signature for some candidate. I'll give you an example. There was, I signed all the petitions of all the candidates. When they went to Kim Costa, she refused to sign some of the petitions which is fine.
What?
Programmer soliciting signature for some candidate is violation of, you know, bylaws. They already, you know, complained, is still ready to come to the office.
Okay, Reza, thank you. We want to move forward because we're going to get to the public comments. What we want to do is finish with the board members. I'm going to say staff is going to end at this point after we finish with Margie, Sean, and Sequoia. Then we'll move to public comments. And the Dutch will keep a list of the public comments. Dutch will keep a list of the public comments in the minutes. As soon as we finish with our three remaining LSP members. So please help us by maintaining quiet so that we can hear the next comment. Margie Murray.
Hi, I work with a number of artists in the Latino community, and I'd like to know if I can bring my own translator to the forum and to do my commercial for me.
That, my understanding is...
You told me no.
Hold on, please. Let him just answer.
I am not going to talk about the forum, the translatable forums yet, because I do not know the process of that yet. If I think what I said to you, and if I said misspoke, then I'm sorry. I think I said I am not yet thinking about that, but in the future, I will need to think about that. So perhaps that's what my intention of that comment was.
Okay.
So again, my same answer will be I do not know yet because I do not understand yet how we are going to produce the bilingual forum. So if you understood differently, I am sorry. Perhaps I do remember that, and I did say no because I thought that at that moment that would be a violation possibly. So I'm going to wait on discussing it until we figure out how to do it because it has not yet been done before. Secondly, to your second comment, I will get back to you this evening about that. Seems like a good idea. I do not want to say yes at this moment, but I will get back to you.
But am I also correct in thinking you sent me an email that said I had to do the commercial on this Monday or Tuesday?
Yes. Yes. So, in other words, I need
to... It's kind of short notice.
I agree.
I just got that email.
I agree.
It's
hard
to
lie to
somebody
else. I agree.
In fact, you know,
what if
we've been out of
town? I agree.
What?
Well, there is in place I am sure there'll be many people who cannot meet it.
Okay. That's a good comment.
Thank you. Hold on, please. Just stop here.
Okay.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah, one quick question and then a comment depending on the question. How many confirmed candidates do we have at this moment?
Currently, we have 26 confirmed listings.
26 confirmed candidates.
Yeah.
In the last cycle, we had 45 folks, and you should realize that a big part of the reason for this drop-off is that the national election... Please, let me finish, and you can say anything you want. Okay. Then, the reason for this is that we have one-sixth of the Carson Promotions played. One-sixth of those mandated under our election policy put forth a couple of years ago by the PNB. So that's one of the big problems here. We did not do the kind of outreach and promotion that is mandated under our bylaws and made such a difference in previous election cycles. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a big problem. We have a little more than half the candidates we had last time. Thank you.
Okay, good point.
Thank you. Mark, thank you for being here. As someone who ran during the last election, I just want you to know that Michael Sanchez's presence was very calming and reassuring. And I don't care how much experience one has had in public speaking, when you know that you're going to be live on the radio and asking people to vote for you, it really makes a difference. So I don't know what you might be able to do in order to incorporate that when you're dealing with the candidate, but Michael was really quite masterful at that. So, and I'm glad that Tim reiterated that all of this information is online, and you've made note of that, right?
Yes.
So you don't have to be creative.
Okay, as I stated, that will be the last LSD comments for the time being. We're going to go to the public.
Point of information, John.
Point of information, make your point.
My point is that we had 30 listener candidates last time and 29.
This is not a point of information, this is debate. Done your own counting, listeners. Excuse me, please. Let's not continue this conversation. Dutch is going to take listener comments. Dutch, will you please? We'll start with Turner. Let's go this way. I guess we'll go counterclockwise.
A quick question is, you keep saying the number of candidates. How many listeners and how many exactly?
There's 26 listeners that are presently confirmed and 6 staff.
Okay, I want to make a comment in response to the point that Kim made. It is very difficult for programmers to have the same program preempted week after week after week, and that's why there's a cycle, so that it's not the same programs that are targeted. And I hope that you pay attention to that in the scheduling. Also, just an editorial comment, I think the reason that we have so few candidates is because we are losing listeners like crazy. Who is going to listen to this constant fund drive? 73 more days between now and the end of the year. We are losing listeners by the second. And why would anybody run anymore?
Okay, Sherna. Yes, let's go to the time to a minute. Lawrence?
Yeah, I just want to be able to clarify one thing. You know, the archives are one of the dumbest things that you could log on to, the PNB archives. And because the elections committee, it seems like the National Elections Supervisor is more of a dummy to be abused by certain people on that elections committee, and she is actually a professional that's trying to do the very best she can. So I just want to say that. And then the whole idea of the waivers being held hostage so they could be two extensions granted by a couple of other members of this committee, which is one of the reasons why there aren't any waivers. I brought the waivers up in the May Governance Committee meeting to be posted, and I even screamed from public comment for a task force to be convened by our chair, and that was never done. So the whole waivers issue has been held like before the Voting Rights Act was passed in the South. It's been held hostage. Four people have been held hostage.
Time. Just as a point of information, we do have a waiver task force which will be recorded.
Okay, so can I continue with my comment?
No, 1 minute time up. Thank you, Lawrence. Okay, continue. Israel?
First of all, Mark, I'll help you, but I have a little bit already. And I and others here know where the other forums are held. I personally arranged 3 of the 5 forums as a candidate for all the candidates they working for last, and the others here who have worked in the forums. That will not be a problem. And all the ones that I arranged, anyhow, were absolutely free of charge in good locations. I can't take all the others. So that should not be a problem if you can solicit and consult with those of us who are involved. Secondly, let's say at the very beginning the importance of having some, if not all, of the forums before the ballots actually reach people. That's just common sense. Maybe it's impossible because of the schedule, which is unfortunate. I've heard the schedule be changed. Even now, I would still urge the schedule be changed to maximize there's access to the forums, both the on-air and the live ones. Otherwise, it sort of exercises futility. That's a pretty key thing at this stage. Rather than incriminating about the past, which I agree with both the criticism you've done already, so far this evening, that's what we're hoping to do for the future. As a time sequence, maximizing
security. Please take other conversations outside. Sorry,
that's okay. Maximizing the information and access to the voter by all means possible. And mention again that we need to increase the temperature.
A little bit. Give it a little more time.
Okay.
Not only is he special, but he was interrupted by people. I had a call for people to hold conversations outside. Have you completed what you wanted to say, Israel?
I don't want to say people in the middle. I'm not afraid.
Okay, Luis,
did you ever have you need to reach the 10% number of people to realize that, and that hasn't been easy. We reached it, but barely. I had comments later on the EMS thing. I heard it. I didn't.
Thank you, Israel. We have a little hand. Okay, next is Luis.
Okay, I just want to remind Mark that my pastor did give that report. I'm wondering why a lot of these questions I'm hearing coming up again, as like Donna Watt said, we're reinventing the wheel each time. I'm wondering why some of these questions haven't been able to,
the specifics are not in the Michael Sanchez report. Otherwise, it's a question of trying to steer a moving car when you don't know how to drive it while it's going. Otherwise, so this is again why I am here, to get the full feedback, which I am appreciating greatly.
Well, another part, I just have to do with the waivers. So I don't know if I want to bring up a question about the waivers. I've been trying to present waivers to somebody on the board, no one designated. I emailed the National
Medical Please help us with no cross discussion. Sorry, Louis.
Right.
I emailed the National Medical Supervisor, the local Medical Supervisor, and John Comshaw, and I got no reply. I put the question of waivers on today's agenda. And now I hear Sean
Casey
O'Brien saying that
this
could be
no waiver. Just as a point of information, I do have...
We fought for it, too.
As a point of information, there is a waiver task force report coming up. Okay, who's next? Roger?
I also have worked on all of the elections since the beginning, and I'm happy to give whatever help I can in any way. And... I've been involved in every phase of it, including designing the bylaws. So, anything.
A lot of attention.
Yes. And I did email about that.
Yeah.
And I think specifically the difference in car time needs to be remedied, that we need to do equal time for any languages to be broadcast in, and that specifically in face of what's going on in Arizona and the rest of the country around immigration laws and the removal of ethnic studies in colleges throughout the country, that is important now. Pacifica demonstrates that we can do the right thing.
Thank you, Roger. And then we have what is in purple?
Okay, so my name is Brenda Medina, for those who don't know me. I have 3 points, 4 points. First, this is addressed to Mark. People should have an opportunity to listen to forums at different times as opposed to some of the other members in this board said, because this can outreach to actually potential new voters. If you do it at the same time, you're going to catch the same people who listen at that time. Second, the Spanish language cards should be equal time, because again, as of right now, you're trying to outreach to new listeners, so that would be an ideal way to outreach to new listeners. Third, so I hope there's a timeline emailed out by you to the listener candidates of when their cards are going to be actually played on the radio, to make sure that there's going to be quality in the cards being played at various times, so various people can actually listen to them as opposed to being only at certain times. Fourth point, waivers are very, very important, and I'm not really clear as to why they're finally being discussed so late into the year, and actually when elections are going to be taking place, it should have been dealt with a long time ago, and I don't know why it's being canceled right now. Again, that's putting a lot of people at a disadvantage. That is it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then behind her, the woman in behind her. Announce your name, please.
Thank you, Mark, for your hard work. Last year we had a community debate in Glendale, and I want to suggest that we have one of those again. And I want to, again, reiterate what Brenda said, and Lawrence, and other people about fee waivers, and specifically have the record note that, as I understand it, Mr. O'Brien stated about the fee waivers is not correct, and it's the responsibility of the LSC to take care of that. Many of us did follow all the rules and submit fee waivers within the appropriate time limit, and the board has the responsibility of making sure that those are reviewed and either allowed or disallowed. And a 5-minute meeting about what's going on is great, but I want to make sure, I want to know how we can make sure that this is really going to happen, that they are going to be reviewed. I know they were submitted to you.
I have been instructed that the waivers are a discretion of the LSC. I've also been instructed that we will accept waivers that are presented by the LSC so that anyone who should be voting will be voting. I do not have a date on that. There may be a date. I was not told that date.
Yes, Omar.
Okay, thank you so much. I wanted to give out, you know, respect to all of us, even though there's been some differences of ideology, but that doesn't matter. I wanted to give out a thank you, Mark. I definitely thank you for being a supervisor. Thank you for reviewing Mr. Sanchez's bio. He did a good job, but he at the same time, you know, they more progress needs to take place, and you're a candidate for that. Okay, so my point is this. As far as gaining more listeners or support as far as the election is concerned, why not push the, you know, the move to place the fee waivers as a way or as a savior to pretty much favor the community of Los Angeles, because for one thing, the station is not doing very well as far as listenership and funding, et cetera, et cetera. So definitely, you gotta like look into the whole fee waiver issue, you know, in this situation. And second of all, we're in the city of Los Angeles. You know, I mean, the city of Los Angeles is not an English speaking city. I mean, we got like different, you know, people from different places. I mean, of course, we're next door to Mexico, right? So Spanish is a high priority, you know, to gain listeners and support, okay? So do not exclude the multilingual community, all right? So that's all I said. Thank you.
Thank you, Omar. Vernon.
Thanks. You mentioned that there's going to be a report from the labor committee later. Is that
correct?
So I just would like to know whether I should make my remarks now or wait to hear the committee's report.
You might want to hear the committee's report and then adjust it according to the hearing.
I'd like to be able to speak then, so I won't speak now. Just
absolutely.
To say that I endorse everybody.
I'd like to speak too.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. There'll
all
be plenty of time for
other
to comments. So we'll provide that time. Okay, thank you. Fernando.
Speaking to a number of police officers in Chicago, Louisiana, and other parts of the country, it has come to my attention that it's a very long tradition in the United States during election time to get dead people out of the grave when we got their ballots. Since these funny games haven't taken place under the supervision of Democratic and Republican parties in history, and it happens to be that particularly heavily dominated by Democratic Party, I'd like to ask, given our recent experiences in some of the particular stations, thousands of people went to some franchise because they didn't get their ballot. I can't be okay. We ended up with more votes than people were registered to vote for inside the building. So with that kind of spirit, I'd like to know if this upcoming election is going to be bad.
My goal is that it will be.
And I will remind you that John Kennedy said when he was running for president that his father would only pay for a certain number of votes in Chicago, but not for a landslide. All right, last public comment, Terry Gould.
Off topic. Mr. O'Brien mentioned upcoming votes on proposed bylaws amendments. If there's going to be local votes on bylaws amendments, then there must be a notice meeting of delegates.
Delegate. Thank you, Terry.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to move to a report by Ali Lex. I already, with the approval of the body, because Ali had asked me earlier, he came early to make the report, he has to perform tonight.
Thank you, Mark.
And Mark, thank you very much.
And I'll be in touch with you also on a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. All right, let's give him a round of applause.
Yeah.
Ali asked to make his report early because he has to perform tonight. So with the approval of the body, we will move up that fundraiser task force report. Ali says he can do it in 1 minute, and we'll move it up. I'm going to use Dutch's suggested numbering. So this would be 3.4. Without objection, we will move to have Ali's 1 minute fundraiser
I noticed that that first section did not stay within its time. Thank you.
We have been timing down when people speak and asking, please, if you do look at the times, it would help us to follow those. Donna's suggestion is that we should look at this. Which would help us.
Your vice chair wants to say something.
Vice chair wants to say something.
When I'm asked to time people, I do time, and I usually suggest we should time comments, we should time sections, but it falls on the chair to make sure everything falls within these time slots. So the fact that it's 3:05, there we are.
Okay, so without further objection, we'll go immediately to the fundraiser task force report. By Ali Lexer. This is the task force. Ali has made a request and has assembled a task force. Ali, talk to us about it, please.
Okay, the last LSD meeting, a motion was made to start a fundraising committee. Until that's formally started, we have put together a fundraising task force. The primary function is to come up with fundraising projects, ideas, and events to help supplement and support the station. Currently on the task force is Luis Cabrales, Kim Kaufman, myself, Sonali Kolhatkar, and Kwazi Nkrumah, who's also on the CAB. This group is open to anyone who would like to help raise funds for the station or come up with events or ideas, public, LSP member, or otherwise. Our first project that we have underway is online auctions. We have set up a KPFK eBay account, and we've been putting items up to auction. We're looking for donations for items such as artwork, signed books, posters, gift certificates, subscriptions, musical instruments, or other items that would have appeal and auction potential to our listeners. We have already auctioned off a few items. 100% of the proceeds go directly to KPFK. Anyone that's interested in participating, just contact any of the members. Once again, Luis Cabrales, Kim Kaufman, myself, Sonali Kolhatkar, Kwazi Nkrumah, and I'll give this to Doug to put in the meeting in a minute.
Okay, and thank you, Ali. Without objection, I would like to ask the body to approve the change in the task force to the committee, which would fulfill the motion made at the last LSD. Can we have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Margie? Okay.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All those in favor of making that task force a committee, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay, so moved. We have a new fundraiser task force committee. You accomplished a lot in 1 minute. Ali Lexer. Let's give a round of applause. Yes, Marcia.
Can I just ask him one quick question?
Of course, go ahead.
I noted that a number of people are concerned about the time that we spend on air with fund drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible to designate a fund drive portion, let's say, the eBay auctions, as an example? Doesn't have to be that. But what we, the money that we took in from, let's say, a certain event would offset time spent on air fund driving. In other words, I know that right now someone said we, I forgot, someone quoted the number of minutes of time that we have to devote from now to the end of the year. So if possibly the committee could designate a couple of fund-raising efforts that would offset the airtime, could we so do that? We so do that. So could we kind of do that?
The way it works is there's a budget.
Right.
Whatever money comes in, whether it's by fundraising, car donations, auctions, events, it all goes into the budget. If you talk to anyone on the finance committee, we have an amount assets and we have payable. So we have to have a certain amount to stay operating. The more money that goes into that from other means, the less time we need to spend on the air fundraising. I mean, we can designate specifically that this money, any money from this auction, goes directly to add to the total of the fund drive.
I guess that's my idea. If we could knock off a couple of days by a certain event, I think we would sleep a lot of little.
Well, that's the idea. Any money we can bring in will shorten our fund drive. I mean, they used to have major donors. They used to have a development director that would bring in major donors. And a major donor, excuse me, can I finish answering this? Major donor is the amount they would bring in would offset the budget amount that we need to raise in the fund drive. It's all directly
connected. Okay. I didn't know if it was coordinated that way.
As the temporary chair, I'll call John Cromshaw to speak.
I had made a suggestion a while ago that I think if we could consider the LSB with 25 members, including the GM, if each LSB member were able to raise $10,000, just as a figure, that the total would be $250,000. That if we as an LSB were determined to raise $250,000, we would actively reach out into the community. We would become a fully functioning LSB with presence in the community. We would be able to have community events. We could have talented people such as Ali Lexa and Rachel Ross maybe performing pro bono at some of these events. And we could raise that money, which would shorten the fund drive, but it would accomplish something else. It would give us a presence and let people know that the LSB is fully functioning and doing something in the community. So that's my recommendation, that we just at least put in mind the idea that we could raise $250,000.
Thank you, John. Before I call on the people, in the turquoise, are you a listener?
I'm Mrs. Clausen.
Oh, okay. Just if you sit back from the table, you're
great.
Sure.
Maybe,
yeah.
Okay.
And Rodrigo?
Yeah, I think, we can actually have a concert done by different bands, fans, basically, but that has to be coordinated with you and with the management, and we just elaborate everything, and then, we have done it before, right? We have done some kids and stuff, so that can be something separate from what you're doing. That's one thing. And the other thing is that everyone is so tired of the fund drive. Nobody wants to have more days on fund drive. Because we are losing a lot of people. That's the part. But the thing is that what is the relation and the world that we develop with the management? Because after all, the problem is that we see is that there is no planning. There is no strategy. We just jump into fundraisers, just one day, suddenly we got this big list of days that we're going to be doing fundraisers. Who decides that, and what can be done? Because that's condemning us, to really lose much more people. So if there is a committee, now, if this, committee that was formed by you and this firm, it's now considered like a committee of the LSB, then, what is going to be the involvement of the actual management and planning? Okay, so this can be productive. So,
okay, so first question, you're talking about events. You can still continue to do, this committee does not supersede or take the place of anything going on with the management. So if you have events planned with management or through different station shows, that's fine. What we're trying to do is just what you said. We're frustrated about these crazy long fund drives. We're trying to do anything we can to bring in more money. So if you want to come to us and you want to use our, I have expertise as an event planner. I do a lot of music events. In fact, I have a fundraiser going on for the Children of Brazil tonight. I'd be glad to work with you on something like that. But if you have a separate event, you want to work with Jennifer Kaiser or Jose Benavides or whoever, that's fine. It all goes to the same pool. Fund drives, the decisions are being made by Bob Conger, Alan Minsky, and Jennifer Kaiser. They're the ones that are coming up with these, in my opinion, over the top fund drive schedules that are driving people away. And thirdly, what John said, $250,000 is equal to about 14 days of fund driving. So if that was brought in, it would take away 14 days of fund driving. So yeah, I mean, if you want to work with us, we have no exclusivity. We're just trying to make an effort to look outside the box. Because like you said, it seems like management is out of ideas, other than just more and more days of fund driving. So anything we can do to bring in some other type of income.
Okay, we have just a couple of more minutes, so I'm going to go to the next two on the list, and please let us go, move on past this 1 minute report, which was excellent. No, it's wonderful. A lot of interest. Let's see.
Yeah. Oh, please consider joining this committee or council.
Although I love John's idea of $250,000, considering the most this board in its history has ever brought in, it's about $5,000. I would like to establish a much more reasonable goal based on a discussion with a staff member. And that staff member asked very simply, wouldn't it be great if the LSD paid for its own expenses, which with the elections and our board expenses are about $63,000. The sentiment was that that's effectively a little more than one position with benefits that we're eating up. And I think our report with staff would be improved if we could just do that much, which is roughly $2,700 per board member. All of that strikes me as somewhat reasonable as a goal. I'm not sure if we set a $250,000 goal that we're going to get anywhere close or be very productive in attaining it, because I think we'll look at it and go, you got to be kidding me.
Okay, Todd.
I would like to see us actually spend some serious time addressing the have instead of the have-not. I mean, these are the poorest people in the country that we're constantly pulling money from and asking them for money. And this society, our culture, the divide between the have and have-not has grown bigger. There are more billionaires and millionaires. I'd like to actually, you know, there are people out there that have a vast sums of money that would be willing if someone approached them with the right idea and the concept. I also think the idea of tailoring fundraisers would be a good idea, i.e., like Rodrigo said, a Latin, or have a fundraiser where there's a concert and there are a lot of black artists or Asian artists, or a specific event like the homeless or something like that. You give people a specific reason that have a certain concern for that cause to come out of their house, enjoy the night, and to contribute to the stage.
Sorry, man, you did it.
Come on, you gotta have 4 days.
We go. Do you want to join?
You're more than
you should.
We're waiting for that.
Mostly by email.
By email.
Rico, what was that answer? I didn't hear that. Leslie, are we hearing a yes from you that you're joining?
If it's mostly by email, yes.
Okay, and Rico, we were waiting for a response.
I'm good with ideas. I'm putting up a lot of time. I got plenty of ideas.
So was that a yes that you were going
to
join?
Yes, I would be happy to join.
Okay, excellent. So we have two people who spoke. So if you speak again, please expect to join the committee. We're going to move forward. This is very extremely productive, and it's really very heartening to see the LSB working in a positive way toward making things happen. I think that's really good. All right, let's move forward to our P B&B Director's Report, which is the next item. I'm going to use Dutch's suggested numbering, which would be item 3.5. Okay, so item 3.5, B&B Director's Report. Sean.
Yeah, folks, we just had a B&B meeting, in-face meeting in Berkeley, and I have good news and I have bad news, and being one that believes that we should always put the bad news out there first before the good news, let me just say that this is the first P&B meeting that I've ever attended. I've been to 7 or 8 now, where we got absolutely nothing of substance done. We did not debate or decide the fate of a single substantive motion. I want you to look at this. This is called a board book. This is what you're given when you sit down at the table. There are over 15 motions in here dealing with finance, elections, affiliates. And affiliates are important, folks. They bring in over $200,000 into this organization every year. We didn't debate a single motion or decide the fate of a single motion in this book. Likewise, we had an executive session for 4 hours where nothing was decided. Now I know you're all wondering, what the hell did we do up there for 3 days on the subscriber's dime? We had a seminar. We had a seminar on auditing that could have been just as useful had they handed out the PowerPoint presentation. Instead, we wasted 2 or 3 hours on that. We had a breakout session where we wasted another couple of hours talking about whatever each little group talked about. Again, nothing was achieved.
I'm sorry, Sean, did you say freakout session?
Breakout session. I know they're usually freakout sessions, but breakout session. We flew up all the GMs or their representatives to talk to them about fundraising and promotional ideas. At that expense, 2 out of the 5 actually attended the session. Okay? Now, I'm not the suspicious type, you know, but, you know, and if I was suspicious, I could believe that the real and costly intent of our leadership was not to get anything done. But since I'm not that cynical, this inability to achieve anything of substance is, in fact, a failure of our leadership on the part of our chair, and I take no satisfaction in saying this, of our chair of the P&B and our ED. Because absolutely nothing in this $300 million foundation was dealt with. Now, the good news, to cheer you all up, KPFK and KPFT as of June are the only two stations that have more revenues than expenditures. You should all applaud yourself, okay? We have more donations, those two stations, than what we had budgeted, okay? Applaud yourself on that. But outside of that good news from our CFO, Ms. Williams, I have little else to report except to say, and I want you to know this, the most contentious issue up there was the elections. And we had 4 out of 5 of our sister stations asking for an extension of membership so we could protect people who legitimately needed a waiver. Our NES failed. She extended the nominating deadline so insiders could sign up for the election, but she failed to extend the membership deadline so outsiders could not sign up. This has affected the waivers because we didn't meet before the end of the membership deadline. So guys, both Summer and I fought very hard to extend that membership line across the board so we could get the waivers in.
And how did you vote? How did the board directors here vote?
Pardon me, let me tell you something, folks. The only vote that was taken on elections, we had one director out of Washington, D.C. that was so upset with the shabby way these elections are being run, she put forth a motion to call off the elections. And of course, it was called out of order, okay? But this was the most contentious issue, and we did nothing about it except deny outsiders membership and people with waivers membership. And remember, the waivers are for people that can't pay us or give us time.
At the time.
But the count out members who are handing in at least $25 is both bad for our democracy and bad for our finances. So guys, as far as this director is concerned, the meeting in Berkeley was a complete failure, and it's a real shame for our listeners because they paid for it. Thank you.
Did all board directors vote to support this? Did all
John,
directors?
I couldn't tell you, John. Let's wait for recognition. Sean, when you're finished.
I'm finished. Thank you.
Could you have more directors here?
Excuse me, yep. Please. Go ahead. Just a minute, please. So Sean has given his report.
One quick addendum. I want you to know that last year's board, of which I was on, saved this foundation somewhere between $70,000 and $90,000. I slept on more floors along with other members, and we saved on the PNB $70,000 to $90,000. So I want you to know that at least last year, we were paying attention to how we spent your money. It's a shame we weren't doing that this year. Thank you.
Okay. Sean, okay, you finished your report?
Absolutely.
Okay. Rico? Leslie? Rico, Leslie.
I have to agree with Sean on the lack of productivity as far as passing motions. I also found this meeting somewhat unproductive, although not entirely. There were some very good discussions in my breakout groups anyway. And yes, I see some failure with the PNB chair on this matter. I think the intention of this meeting was to train us, particularly in financial matters and understanding financial matters and the systems there. I don't think that succeeded. I don't know what the executive director had to do with that. She had nothing to do with the agenda or anything else that was going on up there. We did, in fact, vote twice on extension. Once, was this an open session?
Yes.
Thank you. I have a hard time keeping track. We voted once to extend both membership and nomination period to July 30th. I abstained on that. That was defeated. We voted to extend nomination period only to August 15th or 16th. I voted against that. The problem here is that I don't know that the National Election Supervisor has the authority to extend the record date. I do understand that there is some flexibility in the nomination period because that is an election matter. I am not sure that the membership year, which is what it is not simply an election cycle, that it is the beginning and end of our membership year, and you run into problems with overlapping memberships from the previous year, and, you know, if you have people who join between July 1st and July 30th last year, what do you do with them? It involves the election cycle, but that membership, that record date is not exclusive to the election cycle, and I think there would be some serious problems and difficulties when you start extending the record date for one year and not for another, and this becomes problematic with who gets to vote and who's a member at any given moment and when their renewals are due and all the rest of it. So, you know, when they become a member next year, if we set the record date back to June 30th, and how all that's going to function. So I'm not sure, and I say this because in the past, waivers at this station have always been accepted through June 30th and approved by this body after that date. That has always been past practice here. For some reason, we seem to think that it needs to be June 30th this year. I don't know where that comes from or why it is, but that has not been past practice. that's all I want to say to Sean's report and my own position on the one major voting issue.
Thank you,
Leslie. The one issue that I really thought we would get an opportunity to speak about would be actually have some Q&A with the election supervisors, since it's been such a hot topic. And what happened was the election supervisor came, made a paper report, and there was no time for Q&A. So that was it. What also happened with the people that came from the GMs that came from the different stations was they made reports, and there was no time for Q&A. So it was basically them telling us something, and we couldn't question anything back. Also, when you say Q&A, you're talking about Q&A for the board, Q&A for the audience, the public. You know, basically, they're just informing them, which I think we all found very frustrating. I'm going to differ a little bit and not say that we didn't get anything done, but I will agree with my colleague that the lack of efficiency in the P&B, just like the lack of efficiency here at the LSD, it's very frustrating, and we have to do something about it because we just don't get enough done. And everybody's frustrated by that. But what we did get done up there is that we had an audit report. We talked about finance. That was informative for the board members. It was also informative because it's going on the air for the public. And I think that it is their station. They may be concerned about what's happening with the finance. So that's important. The other thing is we had dealt with legal matters, trying to discussing losses and trying to prevent further losses. Although we didn't really get any resolution, you know, you have to discuss these things. And I find it, like my colleague, very frustrating that we didn't get resolution because I felt we were that close, and it didn't make it happen. And lastly, breakout committees, breakout meetings, they seem a little like they're a waste of time, but I do believe that the breakout meetings, when they just have people go into groups and you come up with ideas, you know, sometimes the public make comments, and I want to talk about some of these things. And that's the time when you can bring up some of these things that you've heard, and you can talk about them and try and see if you can get something done. The problem with it is that you talk about it, and there's no follow-through. So basically, like my colleague said, you talk about this stuff, and still, again, nothing gets done. So I would say we do have a problem with efficiency and follow-through, and that's both the PMB and the LSD. And we, as board members, are part of that problem because we are the board.
Okay. Thank you, Rico. Now for questions. John.
All right, Rico, how did you vote on the extensions?
I think we all voted for the extensions.
But let's begin. You said you did not.
I said I'd stand on the first one and voted against the second one, just didn't include members.
And you guys voted for it tonight.
Yeah, we voted for them. And what it was a motion, a substitute motion that we're dueling. And I think that's what stopped us from getting the motion. They cut each other's votes in half.
So we got
the truth of the matter is, bottom line, we didn't get anything done there, and we didn't come up even with any resolution in executive session. So it was a complete bust.
Both of those are tied votes.
Okay, Dutch. Sean, just a question. Remind us the name of the executive for the executive director of the PMB chair.
Arlene Engelhardt. Am I pronouncing it right, guys?
Yeah.
Arlene Engelhardt is our executive director for the last 6 or 7 months.
And George Ryder is the chair.
Where you thank you for answering the question for me, Leslie.
Where is George Ryder from?
I don't know why.
He's from Texas.
You.
He directed the question to me.
I don't know why he did, so I thought
well, he did, Leslie. Not a courtesy.
All right, thank both PNB members for their participation.
Thank you.
All right, Sean, did you want to make any more comments, or have you?
No, I'm happy to answer anybody's questions.
Okay, let's go to Kim then.
Well, I'm going to defer to Cam. He has his hand up before me.
As directors, familiar with the bylaws. If the PNB passed a resolution to extend the membership or nomination period, would that impose a mandate on the NES or the executive director to do that, or could they just ignore the resolution?
We wanted to pass a motion that would direct the ED to sit down with the NES and discuss these things. See, our national election supervisor is supposed to be autonomous.
But there's been a major problem here is that there is one board member on the PNB who has had undue influence, and I'm happy to produce the paper trail to prove this, has had undue influence on the NES, and therefore the NES is not autonomous, and it has caused all kinds of consternation and concern, even to the point where Washington, D.C. was trying to bring forth a motion to cancel the elections. That's how bad the problem has become.
For the record, I disagree with that assessment.
Well, I'll produce the paper trail for your wishes.
Please let's just go in order. We'll come back to you.
Let's just go back to Ken.
I'm just trying to get an answer
if the actions of the PNB mandate compliance by the ED and the NES in terms of extending the nomination period or the membership period. My understanding from reading the bylaws is that the NES supervises fair and adequate elections. It's not set policy. And it's not autonomous in terms of how election is done. The election is described in the bylaws.
Right.
And as an example, the NES had recommended electronic ballots against paper ballots. But the bylaws request paper ballots. They mandate paper ballots.
Okay,
so my question
goes to the point of information.
See if someone else could answer the question.
I believe that you wanted to direct this to Leslie, which
Leslie Rico.
But Rico has a point of information.
My point of information is when he asks these questions, I don't know if he's talking directly to Sean or what he's asking for all of us to address.
I'm sorry. Well, anyway.
So that's why we felt like we could address it.
But sure. I think that Ken specifically said he would ask Leslie this time. So would you answer that, please?
I'm sorry. I know that's all right. I meant to say other directors here.
That's fine.
All of the motions to extend have been presented as advisory to date. Because of the bylaws themselves, which mandate dates, for the PNB to change those dates would be to supersede the bylaws. Technically, if we are within a window that can be considered reasonable and for good cause, we could probably hold that in court as a reasonable effort to accommodate the bylaws and not a wanton violation. But thus far, the PNB has not gone on record directing the National Election Supervisor to do anything.
Rodrigo, okay. Did you want to Rodrigo?
I was just going to say that. We can't direct the LSB to do anything.
The NES.
The NES to do anything.
Right.
We can only say that the board would recommend, and then it's up to her to do as she. One thing I would want to point out to you, and we didn't have this in the meeting, this was a private discussion I had with the NES, and since it wasn't confidential, I think I can share it with you. It wasn't in closed meetings. I was concerned about that. We spent the whole time with her report, instead of talking about this election and what's happening right now and what's happening at KPFK, we spent the whole time talking about electronic election. About how we can do this through the mail, how we can do it all that way. And so that was the whole thing. And about her website that she had built so that we could, in the future, vote by mail. We could send out the people's information that are running for the board. So we spent all the time talking about that, and she was breaking down how it would work. And there was that was what the conversation was. Now, there was something that came out of that conversation, which I think is interesting to mention to you, is that does anybody know how much it costs to run an election for this
thousand? Yeah.
It's some crazy figure like $200,000, something like that.
If you average it out, $300,000 around the network. If you average it out.
About how much?
$300,000 for the whole network.
For the whole network. So about $300,000. We're talking about $200,000 to $300,000. I was a quarter of $1 million. That's a lot of money.
And we want people to come in with fresh ideas and ways to cut and save money. And all of a sudden, this stuff, even though when you say election and you say electronic, all of a sudden the red flag comes up in my head. But the lady had some decent ideas to be considered. I just thought that it was untimely because we have, you know, the house is burning. He's talking about decorating the upstairs at the wrong time.
Yeah. Can I just add one quick thing to Rico's comment there? We spend, on average, $300,000 per election, 2 out of every 3 years. That's $600,000 that I believe should go to programming and all the other, you know, somebody said to me, I thought Pacifica produced radio. It sounds like you guys just produce elections. Now, as to the electronic voting, this was something that the PNB did not even mandate consideration for until the 2012 cycle. So a lot of us were upset that they were talking about it in 2010. And as Rico pointed out, that was her big talk to us, okay? And I believe she used it to divert us from, or tried to divert us from all of the problems in this election. But the board didn't let that happen because everybody but the people down in Texas, and remember, they all smile and sing. Down in Texas, you gotta understand, they all smile and sing kumbaya because they all got guns. Okay? So, but across the network, we have real problems. So thank you.
Alright, this is my platform. Let's go forward because we certainly want to give everybody an opportunity. Excuse me, let's go forward. Can you pass to a Pinsky? So you're next.
I just want to say this has come up twice, the idea of extensions has come up twice in the PNB Elections Committee. And Sean and Ken both voted to extend it, and Fred voted against it. So if you're wondering where the votes are, that's how they went down.
We cannot do this from the audience. Can Mayor comment?
Point of information.
Yes.
I will hold these 10 minutes.
Okay. Without further objection, we'll end at this point.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to the next item, which is the waiver task force.
And I apologize for leaving early.
Waiver task force?
Not the first.
Yeah.
Ken Aaron.
Okay, I had sent out an email to the members of the LSC to get input about the waivers, and I had spent time talking with people on the phone. I had spent a little time talking with Juan Reyes. Reviewing bylaws, the major point in bylaws, the way I see it, is that the person has to demonstrate an interest in the radio station, and then the board has to approve waiver of requirements for membership fee or volunteer time. I was very distraught about the fact of not getting extension on the membership, but so that's all. Any waivers that get presented. I don't know that we want to go out and solicit waiver membership. That doesn't seem to be the intention of the... and in my discussion with the other LSP members, they concurred that it's not the intention of that section of the bylaws to go out and hand out forms and have people check them off and say, I want to be a free member. It would have to be a person who was demonstrating interest in the station, not a person unaware of it. However, as some member here said, a member of the audience said, if people have applied for waivers prior to June 30th, that application, documentation of it, can be presented, but the NES won't allow us to accept memberships after June 30th. I don't see how we could possibly support special treatment for non-subscribers or people who haven't donated $25 to give a discriminatory preference to people who apply after June 30th for waivers. They can apply for waivers, but they can't vote this election. So that's it with the waiver task force. But in terms of preparing a form, which I've stated to other people and discussed with people, if we have a form where people just check it off or write a sentence, and then sign it and turn it in, we don't have the facilities for validating.
You've got to report. This is personal.
Bernie, please.
He's correct, and I want to end it. My concern is that we don't have a way of validating these signatures or the validity of the information. So, just having a pre-printed form that people check offers was not acceptable to me or the other people I've discussed here. That's about it.
Okay, let's go to a public comment because the public has not been heard from. So, before we do that, I want to go to public comment because the public has not been heard from for quite a while. Let's go counterclockwise. Okay, but let's just go counterclockwise for the public comment, Sharon.
No, I apologize for my remarks. I don't know what anyone would run. I know people who run and turn this station around. When I go to groups, the progressive groups, people come up to me, including someone I met with in London, and say, what is happening? What is happening to the English pageant? And what we now are faced with is the interim general manager, the engineer, who's a placeholder, an interim program director, who has now decided without consultation with anybody how they are going to change the program. The Arbitron issue is a separate issue. Arbitrons are one factor, and I think as many of you know, they are extremely prejudicial to a large portion of our audience, the people of color, immigrants, and young people. The people meters are based on landlines, and there have been official complaints with the FCC. We are not going to get to this item. And we have an IPD who is interim, an interim general manager who is interim, and an engineer who is not going to determine the direction of the station.
Time.
Including 73, I want to reiterate again, I don't know that you all have seen this, 73 fund drive days
time.
Between now and the end of the year. That's time. Over 2 months.
Thank you. Okay, let's see, Fernando. Can you just say 1 minute, Fernando?
I want to express my concern about the effort across the network, including KPFA, to eliminate from participation the participation of the working class people. It's an incredible emphasis about the rights owners and keeping the middle class happy, but the majority of the people in our single area, working class people, poor people, are really excluded, whether it's through the waivers or eliminating canceling preemptive programming that is designed for them during the fund drive, where people can place their money and be able to vote. Different things, different schemes that at the end of the day, working class people are being rejected, excluded, and this is not cool. This is not the Pacific Commission. I don't know where you guys are coming from, but it's not going in accordance to the Pacific Commission. I think you ought to reread it again.
Okay, thank you, Fernando. Omar.
All right, well, okay, first of all, we got to review the bylaw as quickly as possible because we're in a very, strange time as far as getting to know our priority within our foundation. And definitely we got to, be on the dot when it comes to, being our priority checked and done. And first of all, as far as eliminating the fee waivers or putting it to underneath the rug, I don't think that's the way to pretty much support our listeners. A fee waiver is a must-do process to gain listeners as well as gain support financially. So, sadly I wasn't at Berkeley, but as far as getting the fee waivers into motion, I feel that is a lack of concern within the foundation. And it's a shame. It's a bad shame. So that's all that. Thank you.
Thank you, Omar. Roger? Yes, we're going in order. We have a staff.
I also think that fee waivers are an extremely important issue to deal with on a fair basis. As a way, when I was a subscriber at first, I was working and I couldn't pay the full fees, but at that time there were ways that you could, help at fundraising events and put in time and things like that. And basically there was no formal system of taking account of those hours, and there still is not after 35 years of my experience with the station. And I think that one of the things in concerning fee waivers and participation on a volunteer and best effort basis that needs to be solved and instituted by management within all of the stations in every location. And I would say also remember that people who don't have money now will have money in the future. So keep that in mind while you're thinking about fee waivers.
Thank you, Roger. Bernie?
Yeah, thanks. Try not to repeat what people said, but I do want to point out that this task force report shouldn't be a report I've ever heard. It was mostly Ken Aaron. He was on the phone for a couple of minutes with Henry, but that doesn't make it a task force report. The report has to identify what the state of the waivers are, where the PMD is, where the NES is. On the way out, I asked our local election guy to please email the board at you specifically when he has a decision on the date for when fee waivers will be accepted. Now, the thing is you just can't dump a load of crap on the PNB. Or you know, you guys are responsible for not dealing with the fee waivers. Mm-hmm. The members of grassrootskpfk.net, if you want to look it up on the web, have been arguing for you guys to deal with fee waivers for at least 2 full months before they were due, and you guys just ignored it. You can't dump it on other people. You ignored your responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Alicia?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate.
Is that the correct name?
Elise.
Okay.
I want to reiterate what Bernie said, and I do want to hear from Mr. Aaron as to what he is actually doing on his opinion about fee waivers. And they were turned in before the deadline, and I don't think, I know that anyone's asking to have more fee waivers after the deadline. That was never the issue. The issue was to review and to endorse those that were submitted and to be available to whoever's on the task committee, and I'd like that to be taken care of like post-haste. Please let us know what's happening.
Let them know. Thank you, Elise.
Right,
and we will...
have one more comment,
okay.
Which is comments were made by Mr. Crenshaw and also Ms. Bradford about the board being responsible for bringing in some funding, which is what boards do on nonprofits. So it's about time that idea came up, and rather than just throwing ideas around, which is why we're so inefficient, something actually happens about that.
Okay. Thank you, Elise. What we're going to do is continue with public comments with the rest of the people on the stack and then go to LSB members, bearing in mind that we did say this would take us 5 minutes. Okay, Lawrence.
Yeah, I appreciate your vote. No, I've read on the election committee report. Ms. Aaron stated that no one at KPFK submitted a request for waiver. Well, I submitted on May at the May Governance Committee meeting, which I have not been noticed about anymore, and I'm a member, that we were going to put a task force together and I will be communicated with. The only person I communicated with in that task force has been Rico Ross. Kent, I spoke to outside, essentially almost begging him to ask John Crenshaw to convene a task force to vet these waivers that I had mentioned to him. He asked me how many I had. I said I had around 10, and they're right here. What I do is when I go to the community, I take membership forms, pledge forms, and I don't mention these to after somebody tells me they don't have the $25. This is like going back to the South. This is the way these waivers are being held hostage. The waivers are being held hostage because some on the elections committee abused the national election supervisor, essentially to try to get past bullying. Had an extension twice. And I'm glad it got voted down. You can just give me 5 more seconds. I have the waivers right here. As I showed you before, Ken, I don't know why you would get on the election committee of the PNB and say that this was another coach to you.
Thank you, Lawrence. We're going to go to 2 more public comments, and then we will go to the LFP members who want to comment, bearing in mind that this item was scheduled for 5 minutes. Israel.
Yeah.
on this fee waiver thing. I was on the board, it came up two or three times. Never in a timely manner, and never handled in any reasonable way, and without a acceptable process. Rather than blame any one person or group, here we are at least the third year that I know of, third continuous election year, I mean, where this come up again. And I'm sorry to say, I think something you may mention may be irrelevant, not to me. The whole factional issue is at the root of it. The way it's done or not done, in my opinion, comes out of the faction. Otherwise, it wouldn't and shouldn't be a problem. That's one thing. Second, I want to say is one thing Ken left out that is important, namely, these are to be adjudicated by the LSB on a case-by-case basis, not as a group, not in mass, not just routinely, on a case-by-case basis, because that should be legitimately the people who are needy and who are involved in terms of GPSA.
Thank you, Israel. And the last public comment, Louise.
I have waiver forms that I've been collecting in the community groups that I belong to. I've been asking individual board members who do I turn them into. The local election supervisor told me it has to go to somebody on the board. I've been waiting for the board to designate somebody to collect those waiver forms. But at this minute, I don't know who to turn them into. I have waiver forms after the 30th, because I heard it was an extension. I haven't been able to get information about what's going on because I've asked individual group members of the board. And they were telling me things like it's gonna happen, I'm bringing it to the next meeting, and I've been doing that, and it hasn't happened today. I still don't know. The waivers do I have, who do I turn them into?
I would recommend, Luis, that you speak with anyone who has waivers, speak with Ken Aaron after the meeting to make sure that he gets copies of them, make sure you have copies yourself. All right, we're going to go to board members. Also, bearing in mind that we had originally allocated 5 minutes for this topic.
Can we move the agenda? What are we going to do about the rest of our agenda?
Excuse me. That's not appropriate at this time. We're going to go to the board members. Bearing in mind that we have allocated originally 5 minutes for this point. Ken. We have Ken Aaron, Kim, Leslie, and Reza.
Rico.
Hold on.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the same waiver issue. John Parker.
Point of information.
Hold up. John Parker. Did you put John Parker in? Point of information.
Do we have anything to decide today? We're just going to talk about waivers. If we have nothing to decide today,
John, that's the date. So let's continue, please. Kent?
Very rapidly, I personally would be very glad to accept any applications for waiver and manage that. And I'll make copies and I'll take responsibility for holding the originals. Submit it to me now or whenever.
All right, Kent.
At the last governance meeting, 2 times ago, the issue of waivers came up and we started to discuss it, or we brought it up there, and we didn't even get as far as deciding on how the form should be. I suggested that these people needed addresses on their form, if nothing else, because presumably they had an address and wanted to be mailed their ballot, and they didn't even have places. Addresses were optional. So, we, as far as I could tell from that governance committee meeting, we didn't even decide on what the form should look like. I didn't see any forms here. I've never seen a form. That's all I know.
Okay, I'm past it.
Okay. Leslie.
I'm very concerned that the way the task force apparently has not met and has not yet reviewed the waivers.
Listen to our member speaking, please.
I'm very concerned the task force has not met and hasn't reviewed the waivers. I believe that was their charge. And I don't know why that hasn't happened. That is the process for satisfying a case-by-case basis. The forms that Lawrence has were approved by the LSB. Now they're approved by the whole LSB. Dan Goodman, I sat around for 4 hours, actually. I sat out way back at the beginning of the time. And it was brutal, and we were there for hours and hours and hours, and this is what we came up with no address. Correct.
It's available.
It says it's available to allow for people who don't have permanent housing.
Then how are they going to get their ballot?
The idea was they could pick them up at the station. Okay? The demonstration of interest was, in fact, filling out the form and the case-by-case review. We did some case-by-case reviews last year. Rufino Juarez called some folks and checked up to see if they were really interested when there was a concern because the form was in English and the responses were in Spanish. So we have done our due diligence on that regard. I would like to say that we are rather systematically running out the clock on waivers here rather than dealing with them. It's now 4 o'clock. We've arranged this meeting so that we won't deal with waivers this time either. And I would like to suggest that KPFT has a wonderful seedling program for dealing with this. And I would like to see our station do the same. I had a long discussion with them in Berkeley, where they did not carry guns, by the way, not one of them. And what they do is they have a program evaluation form so that people who cannot get away from their homes can do evaluations online of programming, and that counts for their volunteer hours. I think we would be confronted with a lot fewer of these waiver forms if we had real volunteer opportunities that people could take advantage of without having to commute 3 hours to do their 3 hours of volunteer work.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. Let's move forward. Incidentally, our meeting started at 1:30. So we can end this meeting time certain without objection. Donna? Without objection, we'll end the meeting at 4:30. I'm just saying that the meeting did not come to order until 1:30.
That's not my fault. I was here.
We didn't come to order until 1:30. So. Announced from 1 to 4. That's what I was asking. Because otherwise we have to end in 1 minute.
Fine.
I would just say that the quorum was 1:30, so the certain meeting started at 1.
The meeting did not start until
1:35.
I second the motion of setting a meeting to 4:30.
I couldn't make the motion because I'm chair.
Okay, I make a motion to set to 4:30.
Second?
We
have a motion and second. Without any debate, we'll move directly to a question without objection. All those in favor of extending the meeting to 4:30, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention. One opposed. Two opposed.
One abstention.
One abstention. One abstention to the extension. All right, so the motion has passed. We'll go until 4:30. Please help us to accomplish what we need to by limiting your comments. Without objection, I will move forward to the next item on the agenda, which will be item 5.
Point of information.
Yes, point of information. Just a minute, Ken.
How many people were left on the deck for that last conference?
We have Reza, and we have Rico, and we have Rodrigo, and we have John Parker. But if we don't, if we finish, that was much more than the 5 minutes allocated for that item. If we can move on to the next, we might be able to accomplish what remains. Without objection, I'll move
that we extend let the board members that on the list speak.
There's already I was calling for a motion to. No, to move to the next item.
I'm on the agenda. Sure, okay.
I was asking for a motion to extend, to move on to 5. We now have a motion to extend the existing debate to the 4 people remaining. We would limit it to 1 minute per person.
I second the motion.
Yes. All right, if we move and second it. Without objection, we'll go to a vote. All those in done?
No, I'll
okay.
Can I
all right, let's have
a friendly amendment, Mr. Chair?
we should instead move directly to new business and discussion of the IPC.
That wouldn't be a friendly amendment. That would be a new...
If I may, let me ask whether that would be accepted by the Honorable...
Well, that would not be an amendment to the motion. It would be a different motion. So let's... any further discussion about extending for 4 minutes? We might be able to extend for 4 minutes and less than 4 minutes if everybody cooperates. All right, all those in favor of extending for 4 minutes to debate on the previous topic, which has to do with the waiver task force, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions? Okay, it has passed. We have 4 minutes. Our illustrious vice chair will time. We'll start with Risa.
Yes, one thing before dealing with the fee waiver, I was at the station. One of the managers in charge, they asked me, you know how much is the expenses for election? No. It's 70,000. I said, what are you trying to say? What is why we have the election? You see the scare tactics here, people calling 300,000 money spent for election. They are trying to say, hey, we don't need candidate, we don't need election, we are having a station. That's the whole problem. No, the expenses are not, 300,000. We need the election, we need the support of these listeners in the community. This
time. Rico.
Yeah, I'd like to reiterate that the launch did come to the governance committee months ago. They had a head start on this. I'm very frustrated to find out that, again, our follow through is so damn slow. The question that when he brought those waivers to the government, some people were questioning him. I thought maybe, and he said, and Lawrence, Mr. Reyes said that if we could tweak them, that's fine, but this is the standardized one that Stratford had come up with. I later found out that one had actually been approved by the board and had been come up between two board members on different sides of the fence. So I'm happy to hear that. I'm still wondering why they haven't been submitted. I'm happy to hear that Mr. Aaron is saying that they can be turned in by now. The question I think that we have to ask about these waivers and why it's taking so long is that there is some faction, some political politics going on here. It ends the bylaws. Am I not correct in that? And if it is in the bylaws, then that conversation is over.
Okay, time. Thank you, Rico. Rodrigo.
Well, since the problem with the waivers is really getting solved, no? So people can join the waivers here, and so we are going to take care of that. No? So whether we have more waivers, so right there, so we have to move on that. Yeah, my thing has to do with the rest of the items that we have. I think we need 3 months to present one motion on the ISA.
Okay, point of order, we're discussing, excuse me, but we are discussing this. There will be a point.
I'm going to leave now.
There will be a point in the agenda we should bring up.
I
want to
use my time, for that. I said about the waivers, I want to give my point.
That is a separate, issue.
No, but we never
Rodrigo, that is a separate
I'm
issue.
Sorry, with all due
respect. Rodrigo, you're out of order because it's a separate issue.
Sure,
sorry that you're out of order. Please, let's go to the next
I gotta give my.
We have a time certain. We extended 4 minutes for this.
No. I think 3 months already. 3 months.
Rodrigo,
you have a nice place, emotional.
Let's start.
Haven't been implemented.
Let's go to the next item.
We'll try to conclude the meeting. 3 months. Wait for the same
motion. We have a motion to allow Rodrigo
to
move
to a second. So that
Rodrigo can
finish.
Okay, are you giving up your time?
Yeah.
Okay. John Parker is giving up his time to let Rodrigo make the point. Go ahead.
I just want to make a point that, it's not this time, but next time, next meeting, the LSB will deal with the motion of the ISA that was approved in 2000. We have in 2007 and haven't been implemented fully at the radio station at KSK. It's been 3 years already without motion has to be implemented. So we gotta deal with it. So I carry that, you know, one of the first items, you know, that we talk about it is that motion next meeting of the LSB.
Okay. Make it a motion and I'll take it.
I'll make a motion that the next meeting of the LSB, of this LSB, one of the main items that we take into account is the ice race motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Without aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Okay, you have your motion.
Point of information. Can I ask that Rodrigo send out that motion for everybody to look at before we get to the meeting? Once we get there, everybody can actually talk about it.
Yeah, I'll send it over.
Okay, thank you. And one of the points, let me just say, Rodrigo, as the LSB starts to become fully functioning, we're going to get through these items and we won't have to wait for months. We'll start to accomplish things in a better fashion. And I think you noticed in this meeting that we're really making progress. We're really moving forward. Now we are ready to talk about item 5.
Motion to move to do business.
Okay.
I can do things very fast in my report.
Hold on. We have item 5, which is followed by item 6, which are very, very quick items to cover.
Wait a second here.
But item 5 is about just basically announcements. 5 and 6 are basically announcements, which should take us 2 minutes. We can discuss it for 5, but we can take it covered in 2.
Yeah, I'll say a friendly amendment to say after 6, move to the business.
After 6, we'll move to new business. And I am not in a position as, excuse me, please help us. I'm not in a position as chair to make a motion or to make any change to John Parker's motion. So I want to recognize his motion to move to new business.
Second.
Now he will entertain a friendly motion to make that right after item 6.
Yeah.
So moved.
All right. We will vote on that friendly amendment then. The motion then would be that after these next 2 items, we will move to new business.
Have any objections?
Any objections? Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
If there are no objections, we don't need to vote.
Okay. If there are no objections, we don't need to vote. Very nice. Thank you, Rico, for helping us. All right. So, just to mention, there were conflicting motions having to do with the LSB secretary. We had asked, and the standard procedure is that there would be announcements made. I had sent to the LSB members the announcements that would be made. Jennifer Kaiser said she was unable to run those announcements previously because of the fund drive and other things happening at the station, but assured me that they will be running in August, which would allow us to conduct an election for secretary in September. And I see that Fred Blair, our LSB internal elections manager, do you accept that position?
Yes.
Would be helping us with that election.
He's also a candidate. I don't know if that matters.
Who is also a candidate?
Fred. For the LSB.
Yeah.
Now, I think that.
Does he know? I mean, I don't. If he's doing it for the.
I think if he's doing it for Secretary. We can certainly have.
But just so that again for it.
Yes. To me, it doesn't seem to be.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Let's go on to the next
announcement. Wonderful, marvelous. Okay. Future LSB meetings. I had. Try to follow this. Sherna, help us, please. Margie, I have tried to schedule meetings 2 months in advance so that you know the next 2 meetings. Confirmed, we are going to meet Wednesday, August 25th at Workman Circle. This is the day that was available for a weekday meeting. Saturday, September 25th at Palms Westminster Presbyterian Church. We'll look into other venues, but I will continue to work on that process of having 2 meetings in advance so you can make plans.
So that's 1 o'clock.
I'd like to request that in October, or November, that we could shift it to another part of town. Yeah. I have several friends that said they would like to come to KU. They live in Canoga Park and Rosita, and it's hard to get them to go from after work at home. And the next month, again, it's in that same general location. I don't think that's fair to our listeners.
Okay.
It's in other areas. Thank you.
Thank you. So noted. We'll work on it. By the way, I've confirmed for December 11th, Palms, Westminster Presbyterian Church. December 11th, I have to plan ahead for Christmas. And an early meeting to avoid the holidays. But I will look for other areas for the October and November meetings. That is okay to the board.
Why not we move to South Central Library? Okay.
Wonderful. Please make suggestions to me. I'm looking for places where we could go.
All I was going to say is I think everyone who's suggesting a different area of the city should bring forth the location, the cost, if any, and the dates if available.
And the contact people.
Yes. I myself checked with several libraries, and they require a 60-day advance notice.
Okay, but let them take care of that.
This is just what I'm saying, that we could meet in public libraries. Now that we have the meeting set ahead of time, we could do a 60-day advance notice and get approval. Okay, so we can look in the other areas. Yes, it's on the agenda here. Okay, we're going now to new business.
Wait, aren't we only moving the Minsky report and the new business? But the other stuff stays. I mean, for example,
yes, the IPD report.
That's the part that's moving. Nothing else is moving.
No, as I understand it,
that wasn't the intent. Was it the intent to move all the new business ahead of the old business, or just the programming stuff?
The motion, as it was stated, was to move the new business. The motion was to move new business. We certainly can entertain another motion to move the IPD report next.
Let's do the IPD.
Let's have a motion to that.
My point is, let's do the IPD stuff, but let's not.
Let's have a motion
to finance.
So move. Let's have a motion to that, please. Brad, okay, so move. We move the IPD report next. You have these to distribute, right? Second. We move the IPD report next. Any objection? Without objection. We'll take the IPD report next and pass these out.
So the clarification is the new business stays where it is except for IPD, which jumps to the front.
Yeah.
Who's going to motivate this?
Can we pass these out?
Discussion.
Okay, so let's just pass these out. Okay, we are ready for the IPD report. You have the IPD report in front of you. It lists okay, now the meeting, we have been asked, we must leave because we're overfilling our
time.
4:30, we have to be out of here, please. Okay, go ahead, please. Ready? IPD report, we have it here.
We need reports over here. We need them before you hand them out to the people.
They have to go to the LSB members first, please.
LSB
members first. Let's get the report.
Okay, I got it.
We're okay. Pass them to the LSB members, please, Brenda.
LSB members, next one here.
Brenda, do you have extras or?
No, just one.
Okay. Does anybody else have a keyboard? We have an extra. Okay, that's an extra. Okay, let's move forward with this. We have the vital signs report. This is something that Ali Lesta suggested would be an acceptable and understandable way of looking at the report. In the letter, I reproduced the email that was sent to you last night by Alan Minsky. I was unable to download this, but Ali was able to get it printed.
Why is he bothering? are we doing this since nobody's listening? I mean,
can we have more?
This is what we have. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, this is an incomplete version of the ministry, of the ministry letter.
She's high there.
But the conclusion whereby people are asked to consider reduction of time and so on.
You should have two pages back to back, the most highlighted.
It didn't get copied over.
A single page.
Why don't you read it?
I emailed everybody. Everybody should have the email.
We don't have it. Can you read it?
Therefore, it says, Therefore, I, along with the current management team, see an urgent need to make changes in the programming in the afternoon, evening, and weekend. In the next few hours, we will be making some very hard decisions. We have about 8 to 10 new hours of mission-driven programming that we believe will dramatically improve our listenership and our fundraising in the coming year. In order to make room for these new shows, we need some of the underperforming shows to set aside. Therefore, we are asking all KPFK programmers to take a hard look at their shows and decide themselves whether they can make a positive contribution to the station by increasing their audience size and raising money for the station in fund drives. If you recognize that your show cannot make such a contribution, then we, the management team, would encourage you to either 1, offer to cut the length of your show, for example, from 1 hour to 30 minutes a week, 2, move your show off air to a web-based show at lrkpfk.org, 3, end your show. We will wait to hear back from programmers for 1.5 weeks until 7:30, after which time we will begin to make the decisions about which shows to cut back and which to excise in order to free up the time to introduce new programming onto KPFK radio. This is a difficult process, but essential for the greater good and health of the station and foundation. Sincerely, Alan Minsky, KPFK Interim Program Director. Let's go to listener comments. Yes.
Hi, my name is Rosemary. I'm glad that this came up because I wanted to address it.
We have 10 minutes left.
Sure. I think that that his idea is totally off because he's basing himself on the fund drive, and a lot of times I found that the people who are getting the program don't get attached to the fund drive raising. The program that they put on is something like the looking for cancer awareness, blah 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 blah. And those tend to be put on way too many times. There's plenty of opportunity for people to buy those if they are interested, but I think that they need to change the fund drive, the way their fund drives are programmed and put on, because
Thank you. Okay, Terry.
Point of information. My point of information is this. I've written a...
That's not a point of information.
In an ideal world, we would not have interim management making decisions that the station is going to have to live with for a long time. However, I will point out that we are in a unique position with our current interim management, that they are going to have to live with their decisions under our next management, rather than have to be protected by continuing a position of management.
Okay, thank you, and hold on, please, we only have about 8 minutes left.
I think many of us resent an interim anybody making long-term decisions. If they're interim, they need to respect that and not make decisions that will affect, the way the station is put out on the air for listeners, it way into the future, number one. And number two, the good news from Mr. O'Brien that I heard was our income at KPFK is higher than our expenses. I think everybody heard that. I wrote it down. So what is Mr. Minsky complaining about? I don't understand. These things cut into each other.
But, I'm completely, for the same reasons that Elise is speaking about. Program decisions get made
by an individual head, or maybe a team, and at some point I'd like to listen to John's policy suggestion. But programs should be evaluated, evaluated by listeners in an evaluation process. Somehow that could be done. We have the airway. We could elicit interest from listeners, have on-air town halls, whatever it is. Okay, sure.
There is a process, but Alan Minsky is ignoring the process and disguising himself. There was a motion a year ago. He promised to put into place the formation of the Listener Programming Advisory Body. He refuses to follow up on this. It's up to you, the LSP, to say that nothing can be done until such an advisory body is placed. We cannot have an interim program director be making decisions on his own in conjunction, and my apologies to any engineer in the room, with a general manager who's an engineer. There's a process. There is no process here. There is no process he spells out, except those of you who want to reduce your time, oh, thank you so much. This is outrageous. You need to hold him and management to fulfilling the LSD policy for the formation of a listener program advisory body.
Thank you, sir. I want to limit the comments now because we only have about 6 minutes left. So I'd like to go to LSD members. John Minder.
Resolved. The PD or IPD shall email to the LSD his current process for implementing programming changes and shall email updates to the LSD as soon as he changes the process. Until this is done, the PD or IPD shall not change the program.
All right.
May I have a second?
I second.
Second. It's been moved and seconded.
Perfect, John.
Any discussion? Leslie.
I reminded our PD of this 2 or 3 days ago, and I do have an email from him saying that he will indeed put together the listener committee, and he thanked me for the reminder.
He said that 4 months ago.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Let's just go on to the discussion of the motion, because we have about 5 minutes, and we could maybe get this motion voted on. Ken.
I support the motion, and it's asking for him to tell us what he's doing, or don't change it.
Britain.
Yeah, when Alan Minsky complained about money, what listener are this hearing? Having dinner with Sonali with $1,000, this is the offer that listener poor people around the community could not come over there and pay $10,000. We need the people on the street.
Excuse me, we have a motion on the floor, and I'd like to have the discussion.
I'm going to call the question.
I just meant you cannot call, you're not recognized. Donna?
My comment is, I like the motion, but I want it to be a little bit stronger, which tells Alan Minsky that he is not to implement what he has said in this letter, that he cannot in a week and a half do the changes himself.
You have a second for that.
Okay.
Will you accept that, John, as the maker of the motion, will you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Well, I know.
Specifically, John, I'm asking you whether you would accept
that. No, John is showing me that he's got, until this is done, the PD or IPD shall not change programming. I understand that. I just want it to be stronger.
Just as a point of information, we're going to adjourn this meeting in about 3 minutes. We can come to a vote on this if people are in accord. Rico.
If there are no objections, I'd like to call a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friendly motion. I wonder if John would entertain...
Wait a second.
Yes.
The question was a question.
Call for the question. All right, we need to vote on closure. All those in favor of closing debate signify by saying aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? We close debate. Let's go to the motion. So voting on the motion. John, please read your motion.
Yes. Resolve, the PD or IPD shall email to the LSP his current process for implementing programming changes and shall email updates to the LSP as soon as he changes the process. Until this is done, the PD or IPD shall not change programming. the things we have got to have in writing before it is a thing.
John, I take it that you would be the one sending this motion.
No,
I'm just asking because it's not included in the motion.
And then the chair
said it. The chair said it to the... Okay, let's yeah. And the chair shall communicate this to the management team.
Okay, is that friendly amendment? Who's going to make that? Well, you just friendly made your friendly amendment. I don't know.
I call Luke Lesford on the way it is. Keep playing around with it.
But we have to get some mechanism for getting it out.
The chair shall send this to the management team and the copy to the ED.
Without objection, we'll make that change. Is that
objection? Objection from the...
No, from the LSP.
This is Michael Manning.
No, no, no.
Objection. Go ahead.
I appreciate Donna's suggestion that we say no to the document that Alan has sent out, give it specificity, ask as well for clarification on the expenditure income status of KPFK that necessitates such radical measures.
If there is no second, that motion will die for lack of second.
Second.
You know,
okay, Can I speak to this amendment? For whatever reasons, the members of this board that are trying to stop us from coming up with an action where the LSB tells management what to do by getting into this ridiculous debate in 10 seconds.
You're killing the motion.
No, you're not.
Let us vote.
It has no teeth without that change.
Well, the meeting's going to be over. And there's no motion.
I move to extend by 10 minutes.
Can't do
second.
It.
Second.
We were supposed to be out of here at 4.
Yeah.
We said it at 4:30. Well, we have now an amendment that has added to it.
That kind of complexity is
already up
there. It has now completely changed the nature of the motion.
Okay. The maker of the motion rejects the amendment. Let's vote.
The proprietor of the establishment says, okay, you vote 10 minutes.
We now have a motion to extend for 10 minutes.
I'm moving away from 10 minutes.
So a second. All those in favor?
Or less.
Okay. Or less?
Yeah.
Second.
You know, I'm more important. The question was called. Somebody made an amendment.
That's right.
And you can't make an amendment after the question is called.
Right.
We can vote on this. They can make another motion and make a stiffer call after that. So this question was called, and that call passed. We vote on this motion.
That's what we're going to do.
You don't get nothing done.
Well,
why are you waiting for 10 minutes?
With you as a program, if you pass the damn thing and get it to the IPD, the mayor of the city is over at 4:30.
First of all, the vote was to, as I recall, the vote was to close debate.
That's right.
We voted to close debate.
That's it.
The next step was to vote on the motion.
That's it.
At that point, Fred made an additional motion, which is not in order because we had already
Not in order.
Everybody who is if you're talking now, please.
I withdraw my motion, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'll wait for discussion, Steve.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what stands now is the main motion with the Warren modification.
Correct. Shall I read it again?
Please.
Yes.
Resolve, the PD or IPD shall email to the LSP this current process for implementing programming changes and shall email updates to the LSP as soon as it changes the process. Until this is done, the PD or IPD shall not change programming The chair shall send this motion to the management team with a copy to the EDA.
Are there any objections?
No.
Okay, then, we already are there to vote. Ready to vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Abstentions? You have your motion.
Now,
make another motion.
Second one.
Second one.
I have one more motion, a small one that I don't think anyone will object to.
We're not going to proceed as long as we have discussion going on. Members of the public, please tell us. Let's proceed.
I would like to move that we add our interim program director to our email list. He says here he cannot email us because he's not on our list. I would like to so move.
Okay. Is there any objection? Without objection, we will just...
I
would take that as being a minimum number that we could email to. We could email to many more people.
Will you instruct Ali to take care of that?
Okay, so all those in favor of adding IPD to this list?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
I think it's very simple for him to contact the LMA.
Okay.
He takes the word,
All right. We'll just add the I'm going to adjourn the meeting as the discussion continues.
How much time?
One warning. If you continue talking when we're talking, and we have very limited time, we're going to adjourn the meeting because it was 10 minutes or less.
Do we have any time left?
We have approximately
6 minutes.
It was 10 minutes or less. John Winger, would you please email me the complete list of what you have?
I'll go send it to you in the whole list.
That's fine. Just email me, and including that amendment that must be put to include the IPD.
That's not an amendment to my motion. That's a separate motion.
Adding the
Will you also make note of that? So that everybody sees it. Okay, let's go forward, please, Donna.
I've been advised, and I know it to be true, that the programmers at KCMK are in an uproar over this letter. So I wanted to make a motion that this letter should be We should condemn the letter and send a letter to the program that we recommend this letter be rescinded.
I will just say, unfortunately, we don't have direct access to send letters to the programs.
Alan
Linsky. So you would have to somehow...
Just a minute,
please. Donna, you could make a motion to ask the IPD and the IGM to forward this to programmers.
Has it already been forwarded?
Our motion that we just had, the John Winger, Donna,
do you think that would resolve the problem?
No.
Because your point about condemning it is critical so that programmers know that there is vehement opposition.
And the backing of the board.
Along with John's motion.
Well, John, read your motion again because I think that makes it clear.
Resolve, the PD or IPD shall email to the LSP its current process for implementing programming changes. It shall email updates to the LSP as soon as it changes the process. Until this is done, the PD or IPD shall not change programming. This thing has got to be in writing. The chair shall send this motion to the management team to talk to the ED.
He can just email the process and then go ahead and execute the process. He didn't say stop.
He said he shall not change.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a separate issue. What we're trying to do is convey to the programmers that we're not in
agreement.
We don't agree with this letter that was sent to the program.
The only thing I'm trying to do, Donna, is to figure out a mechanism to get this to the program. We don't have access to send it to the program.
But what you can do is share the LSP's request that Jennifer Kaiser send it to the program as well.
That's what I think.
Okay, well then that's the motion.
We would ask. All right, we moved and seconded that this letter from the LSP be sent to Jennifer Kaiser with a request to forward that to the program.
No, not the letter that the LSP objected
to. The John Winger motion.
Don't you think our own
motion?
Make
a whole new motion.
Okay, you can get it. Okay.
I
can
get our motion the same as you want.
Okay, this is how I'm interpreting it in the few minutes, in the 2 minutes that we have left, and if you're so inclined, we can actually pass. Just a minute, please. I'm interpreting that you would ask that this John Winger Donna modification be sent to the programmers by Jennifer.
No, I'm asking that Jennifer Kaiser send to the programmers that the LSP has condemned this letter.
You want this to be a new communication.
I'm talking about Alan Minsky.
I understand.
So move that.
So you're making that motion?
Yeah.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that a letter from the LSP condemning the letter from the...
Are asking Alan Minsky to resend this letter to the program.
Well, please make it clear so we can write the motion down.
There's two things, whether we condemn it or whether we
ask
to resend it.
Asking to resend it?
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and that's how to communicate
it. For the maker of the motion, we really need to have the motion clear so we know what happened.
Okay, the LSP request Jennifer Kaiser sends notice to the programmers that we condemn the letter from Alan Minsky.
Shall we say station manager?
Alan Minsky to the programmer, and that we ask that he resend the letter.
Amen.
We actually need to run.
Okay, do we say station management, or are we saying Jennifer Kaiser specifically?
Jennifer Kaiser sends our condemnation of this letter to the programmers and asks Alan Minsky to resend this letter, his letter.
Okay, in the less than 1 minute we have left, what I have is a second motion, and John Winger, will you also email that to me? I have the LSP request Jennifer Kaiser to send a letter of condemnation to the IPDs.
Well, the thing is, it's not going to
be done by 5 minutes, Mr. Chair.
No, just a minute, please. Let's just finish this.
Go ahead.
So the LSP requests that Jennifer Kaiser sends a letter.
Send LSP
notice of condemnation, shall we say?
Yeah, that's part. To all programs.
Wait a minute.
Condemnation of
IPD letter. Demand for... demand for revocation to all programmers. I do. I have the IPD letter. July 23rd, 2010. Okay.
I do believe it's necessary to have teeth behind the motion, but I question whether the language being put on the automatic system on defense and then we have a war.
It should be on the defense.
Okay, now that is your input, so tell us please.
That's the motion. Do we have a second? Let's take a vote.
No, we didn't have a second yet.
I'm just saying that the language is important, and you can sometimes you get the same thing done without offending. And I don't mind offending, but when you offend, you also understand that
the meeting is going to be over.
Okay.
I will note now that we do not have a quorum and are unable to pass this motion.
I am, Chair, point of information. I understand
we do not have a quorum.
If you have a quorum when you start, as long as you
get to set a seven.
You require seven affirmative votes.
We only have six.
Your thought was very, very tardy.
Unless someone challenges lack of quorum, if you start a meeting with a quorum, you can continue.
Seven is the minimum.
No, no.
You organize your trip to the bathroom.
You can continue the meeting, but you require seven affirmative votes in order to adopt any resolution.
Right. We don't have that.
And
we're out of time. We didn't move to extend the meeting.
Mr. Allen,
Seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you still got 8.
Seven. Where's 7?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay.
Right. What are we voting on?
May I move to extend some of the winner at least returns from the bathroom?
Well, no, if Ken Aaron is back now, we have our...
What are we voting on?
What's that?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, how is
this motion?
The adjournment of the meeting will stand unless we hear what's happening. If there's discussion right now, John Gary, Ken Aaron. Let's stop discussion, please. Stop discussion. All right, so adjourning the meeting.
Read the motion.
Hold on. I announced the adjournment of the meeting because people I announced the adjournment of the meeting because the people who were involved in the discussion left the room knowing that we were attempting to have seven in a quorum. That I took as their intention not to vote on the motion. That is what I determined. Now, given that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in the room.
Plus yourself.
Eight people in the room. I would vote only in the case of a tie.
That's fine. Thank you. That's
quiet.
I would like to rescind the motion announcing the closing of the meeting because the people who left came back. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, we agree.
Thank you. All right, so now we have a motion on the floor, the Donna Warren motion, which I think we were trying to get some clarification for.
I wrote something there.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I move that Jennifer Kaiser can unnotice two programmers at the interim program director's letter, which appears to be dated July the 23rd, 2010, two programmers is condemned by the LSB and that the LSB asked the IPD to rescind this letter.
Ask or demand?
I need right.
No, the LSB asked the IPD to send this letter.
Urges?
Urges.
Okay, that's fine. Urges.
John Winger, can I count on you to send that motion to me?
Yeah, sure. I'll have it after.
And we're going to have urges, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I got an urge right now.
I understand that. Please don't jeopardize our quorum.
Could we get a copy of the transmission to Mr. Minsky and to Ms. Clinton, please?
Of course, the LSB would be copied, but we could do that.
Thank you.
No problem. Well, John, you're going to send that to me and a copy to the LSB also, right? And you said
yes.
Two motions. Okay.
So did I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All those without objection, we'll just go right to the vote.
Oh, I object. I'll call for a vote. You're asking
without objection to moving to a vote, we'll move to a vote.
Okay.
So without objection to moving to a vote, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of the motion as it stands, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions. Okay, one opposition, one abstention. You have your motion.
All right. I think I'm going to play one. For the next agenda, we have a discussion about arbitrage ratings and their effect. With 8 members voting and 1 nay and 1 abstention, you only had 6 votes.
Right.
So you should have a roll call.
Okay, let's have a roll call. Roll call vote. Please, Secretary. Rico, we're off. Okay, let's please listen.
Fred.
Yes,
please.
Are you asking me? I can't hear.
Yes. How do you vote on that vote?
Nay.
Nay. And John Parker?
Yes.
Second. Yes, yes. I'm getting there. You're all over the place. Reza is a yes. John?
I want to abstain on this one.
Hey. Don?
Yeah.
Not my turn.
Okay. And our chair doesn't get involved, and Dutch is not here.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, we should have discussed that on the show first.
So wait a second.
Just a second. Aaron will end. So, I think we've got one.
Come on.
Yeah, shoot that 512.
He's done it.
Yes, I
know. 4512.
Oh, John Dunham. John's not part of
it. John Winger is staying. He has super abstained, which would be 512. There's 8 people here.
Yes, I have John abstaining, Rico Ross abstaining, Leslie Rafford, yes, Reza Ford, yes, John Parker, yes, Fred Plunder, yes, and Crumshaw's not still in town.
The chair doesn't vote except in the case of the tie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got 2 abstentions. 3 yes, 4 yeses, and 1 no.
So you didn't call my yes.
Hi. Donald Warren.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's true.
Five. A new motion, please.
One, two,
three. I'd like to move that we go with the bigger motion.
We're not
five yeses, go to Kathy.
Okay, the motion passed.
This wasn't a motion.
Point of order.
Hold on.
Point of order.
Hold on.
From Mr. Secretary, because after you lose quorum, you require seven affirmative votes in order to adopt.
Oh, you're right. No, you're absolutely right.
You're correct.
You're right. So the motion does not pass.
I'm going to vote with you with saying, I will approve it.
Please help us put the chairs back. Let's get out of here.